Yeah, I love that song. Hello, this is William Fink. This is the Christogenia Open Forum. It is Monday, August 16th, 2010. Thank you for joining me. If anyone wants to talk, this is an open forum. I don't have a whole lot of material without you. So unless you want to fall asleep together, we'll just right-click your name and request to talk, and it will be granted as soon as my little presentation here is over with. And somebody here received they confronted me with a forum post from Stormfront by somebody named Kaiman. Kaiman is this is from the religious section, I believe the Christian identity section on Stormfront. Kaiman has been a member there a few years. If anybody searches my posts on Stormfront, they'll probably find a time or two where I had exchanges with him because the name is familiar. And I don't go on Stormfront anymore. It's not Kaiman's fault. It has nothing to do with him. It's just that Stormfront is a waste of time, I believe, for the true Christian identist, or even for the true white nationalist. Stormfront's infiltrated and it's subverted, and I believe it's full of trolls and people who get hired simply to make trouble there. That's my opinion. Okay, well, Kaiman doesn't like the Christogenia New Testament, and that in itself, that really doesn't bother me. But he's a liar, and I'm going to demonstrate that, because his reasons... As he says, my New Testament's found lacking, I find his reasons for not liking it are much more lacking. Kaiman says that, he complains about the way I transliterate Jesus into Yahshua. And I would say that transliterating Jesus into Yahshua is at least as legitimate as transliterating Jesus into Jesus. I give there's a paper on Christogenia, Yahshua to Jesus, the evolution of a name, which explains the legitimacy of the name from the Septuagint, from the Hebrew, how it was transliterated in the Septuagint, and how that Yesu is the Greek equivalent of Yahshua, and how it became Jesus through Greek into Latin, from Latin into church Latin or ecclesiastical Latin, which was different than traditional Latin. It had some differences that came to be in the Middle Ages. And then eventually in English. And my paper explains that. And I'm not, I don't have any reason to defend why I write Yahshua. You either get it or you don't. He doesn't like that I wrote Yahweh for Kurios. Now, I would admit, sometimes and quite often in my New Testament translation, I write Yahweh for Theos. And that, from a scholarly viewpoint, from the viewpoint of a scholarly purist, is not really defensible. Because Theos should be God. However, I have religious reasons, and I feel that I could make a good religious argument for translating Theos, for writing Yahweh, when I see it. And I could defend that on religious grounds. And a New Testament translation is a religious translation. So I feel that that's legitimate, even if it's not proper Greek from a purist's point of view. However, I will defend, from a purist point of view, the reading of Kurios in the Greek and the writing of Yahweh. And I'll do that from this viewpoint. If the people who made the Greek Septuagint from the Hebrew texts can look at the Tetragrammaton, Yahweh in Hebrew, and they can write Kurios in Greek, then I believe that when I see Kurios in Greek, I sure as hell can write Yahweh in English. And if you think about that, well, they're going one way and I'm going the other. If they say Kurios is equivalent to Yahweh, then I could say Yahweh is equivalent to Kurios and translate it any way I want and in that manner. And I don't believe there's nothing wrong with that. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. That's self-evident that in the New Testament that would be legitimate. Especially since the King James authors, the translators, authors, yeah, they're kind of like authors. They kind of wrote part of it because it ain't what the original language says. Especially since the King James translators They looked at Yahweh and the Tetragrammaton in the Hebrew, and they wrote Lord. And they looked at Kyrios in the Greek, and they wrote Lord. So if they can equate Kyrios and Lord with Yahweh, well, then so can I. So when I saw Yahweh, when I saw Kyrios in the New Testament, in Old Testament contexts, not in New Testament contexts where the word refers to Christ as a title, Kyrios, but in Old, legitimate from the point of view that I just gave. Another thing Kaiman doesn't like about my New Testament is that on some occasions I take the word ethnos and I translate it heathen. And he seems to believe that it should always be translated nations. Now, an ethnos is a nation. There's no doubt. But in some contexts, writing nation for ethnos doesn't really make sense, and especially where it appears in the plural. Writing nations for ethnos doesn't make sense, and we have to come up with a better word and a better understanding from the context. So let me look at, let me quote Luke 18:31. Then taking aside the 12, he said to them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things written by the prophets for the Son of Man shall be completed. For he shall be handed over to the heathens," in the Christogene New Testament. That word is ethnos. "He shall be handed over to the nations, and mocked and abused and spat upon." Well, yeah, you could say that, but does it make a whole lot of sense literally to say that? And are those the same, are those nations that he was handed over to, are they the same nations that he was sacrificed for? Think about that, because we know that the people that he was handed over to were, for the most part, the Edomites of Jerusalem. Are they the same nations that he was sacrificed for? I think that we have to make a distinction there. And so I translated heathens. Whenever the people of the nations are opposed to the Christian message, I translate it heathens. And right now I'm going to justify that literally. I'm going to read from Liddell and Scott. This is the Liddell and Scott. I didn't feel like getting the big book out. It hurts me. No, I'm kidding. It's a big book and it's clumsy. And it's not going. The conclusion is not going to be any different than I'm going to get out of this little book. And what I'm referring to is the Liddell and Scott, the large ninth edition of their lexicon. It is much more exhaustive than this one I'm reading out of. But this is the Liddell and Scott Intermediate Greek Lexicon, founded upon the seventh edition of Liddell and Scott's Greek English Lexicon. And that's good enough for our purposes here. And I'm going to read the definition of ethnos. Ethnos. A number of people accustomed to live together, a company, a body of men, as it was used in the Iliad of Homer and subsequent Greek writers. It could mean of animals, swarms, or flocks. Of people, it could mean a host of men, ethnos leon, meaning an ethnos of people. Two, after Homer, a nation, a people, as Herodotus used the word, and as it's used in the NT, ta ethne, the nations, or, as they say in Church Greek, Gentiles. Three, a special class of men, a caste, or a tribe. A caste, a special class of men. That is a legitimate translation and understanding of the word ethnos, as Plato and Xenophon used the word, according to Liddell and Scott. Now, if I come across the word ethnos in the New Testament, and especially at Luke 18:31, I, as a translator, believe that the word ethnos refers to a special class of men, i.e., those who are opposed to Christ and Christianity, and we all know who they are from the context of the New Testament. Well, then I believe that I could translate that as heathen, as those who are opposed to Christianity, to the gospel of Christ, being a special class of men. And that who is who I believe Christ meant in Luke 18:31, when he said, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things written by the prophets for the Son of Man shall be completed, for he shall be handed over to the ethnos," plural, "the heathens, Let me find my dictionary. I had it here a minute ago. Oh, here it is. This is the American Heritage College Dictionary, 3rd edition. Heathen, one who adheres to a religion that does not acknowledge the God of Judaism, Christianity, or Islam. Well, that's okay. Jews and Islam, that they're heathens too. But remember, this is a worldly dictionary, right? B, such persons considered as a group. B, such persons considered as a group. 2, A, one who is regarded as irreligious, uncivilized, or enlightened. 2, B, such persons considered as a group. So we see in the definition for ethnos in Liddell and Scott that an ethnos could be a special caste of men. And the definition of heathen in the American Heritage College Dictionary could be irreligious, uncivilized, or unenlightened people considered as a group. So it seems to me that at Luke 18:31, heathens is a perfect translation of the word ethnos as it's used there. And that's wholly defendable from a scholastic viewpoint. And there are several, there's probably about 10, 12 occasions in the New Testament where ethnos can be translated, should be translated in context, not as nation, but as people in the plural or as heathens in the plural. Acts 21:10, and upon abiding many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus, verse 11, and coming to us and taking Paul's belt, binding his own feet and hands, said, thus says the Holy Spirit, the man whose belt this is, thusly, the Judeans in Jerusalem shall bind, and they shall deliver him into the hands of the heathens. Now, if I wrote nations there, it might imply that Paul, being the apostle of the nations, was imprisoned by the people of the nations whom he was the apostle to. And that would be misleading, because the people that imprisoned Paul are by no means the nations which he delivered his gospel to. So here, as we know from the context, clearly being Paul's opposition, I interpreted ethnos, as Xenophon and Plato use the word, and as Little and Scott explain it, to mean a special caste of people. And we know that they are the Edomite Jews in Jerusalem, opposed to Christianity, that imprisoned Paul, that crucified Christ, and they're certainly a special caste of people. So there are some places, and I would be careful using it, but there are some places in the New Testament where ethnos surely should be interpreted to mean heathens, because it's discussing a special caste or class of men. And contextually in the New Testament, those who are opposed to the gospel. So that's my defense of my occasional translation of ethnos as heathen in the New Testament. And Kaimon on Stormfront can go beat a rope. Okay. Now, Kaimon on this turkey, he says that, I'm going to quote him and prove that he's a liar. The first quote, the first thing I raise my eyebrow at is the translation of ethnos into heathen, blah, blah, blah. All right, I'm sorry, next paragraph. The second flaw, which is the test I put forth for a translation, as he claims, is how they translate eis odon ethnon me apa ap el fete, which literally says, to the way, or road, of the nations, do not go away. That's how he, that's, I'm still quoting Timon. The word apelfete, meaning to go away or depart, and may is a negative particle. And this is all correct. If one wanted to make it a bit easier to read, it is saying, don't go away from the nations. That's where he lies. And we're going to see it. First, he quotes Young's literal translation. Quote, Young's literal translation of the passage is, these 12 did Jesus send forth, having given command to them, saying, to the way of the nations go not away, and into a city of the Samaritans go not in. Kaimon's twisting Matthew 10:5. He's claiming that Christ sent the apostles to no one but the nations in that verse. And here's where he twists it. He twists it because eis odon ethnon means into the way of the nations, or into the road of the nations. And he says in his translation below that it should say, don't go away from the nations. But the Greek, as he admits, says into the land of the nations, or into the way of the nations. Now let me discuss that verse. First, he's sending them away. So a verb is used, depart, that expresses the fact that Christ is sending the apostles away. The Greek eisodon ethnon means into a road or a path of the nations. Me apelphete, do not depart. Because they are departing. But he doesn't want them to depart into a path of the nations. So for that specific reason, he used those words. If he'd have wanted them not to depart from the path of the nations, as Kaimon claims, then eisodon ethnon could not have been. It's saying do not go into the path of the nations. Eisodon ethnon would have had to read ek odu ethnon, do not depart from the path of the nations. It would have to be ek and the genitive, not eis and the accusative. So Kaimon, who pretends to know anything about Greek, is lying and really doesn't know anything about Greek. That's the bottom line. And I hope that Galilei answers his post and replays this tape a few times before he does. Because if I tell you not to depart into the direction of Canada when you are departing from me, that means that I do not want you to go to Canada. If I tell you don't depart into the highway that goes to Mexico, that means I don't want you to go to Mexico. So if I tell you into the way of the nations do not depart, that means I do not want you to depart towards the way of the nation or into the way of the nations. So the traditional translations of Matthew 10:5 are correct. And Kaimon is a fool. And Galilei put the link to his post in the forum. The problem with that is that you can only get to that forum if you're a member of the theology section on Stormfront. So when I post this program later on, when I post the recording of this program on Christogenia, I will accompany the JPEG image of Kaimon's post, which I'm responding to, along with this recording. Okay, that's enough of that post. And that's enough of my explanation. I'm probably bored half of you to death anyway. If anybody wants to talk, this is an open forum. So you're more than welcome to say something, or I might just start having to play music or something stupid again. Mike Prothing sent me an interesting article today about a so-called German pop star admitting to hiding the HIV virus from sexual partners, exposing several men, and she's on trial in Germany for it. They actually have charges for that. Well, she's not a German pop star at all. When you see her picture, she's a negress. Adolf Hitler said that Negroes and Chinamen can't be German. I kind of agree with Adolf Hitler. They love to confuse genealogy and geography. That's the first endeavor of the Jew, to confuse genealogy and geography. There's some other stories on this page that are pretty interesting. Mel Gibson crashed his Maserati. I wonder if he has a Jewish mechanic. 1 in 10 New Yorkers has bed bugs in New York City. There's a bed bug outbreak in New York City. And some of the people in the forum on the New York Daily News were actually brave enough to say that it probably comes from all the immigrants. And the Craigslist killer was found dead in his prison cell. I didn't read the article. And a black basketball player that just got a big contract with the Indiana Pacers, he threw his girlfriend down a flight of stairs and smashed her head against a step. The only good news there is that she's black. She's not white. I'm sure his next girlfriend will probably be white. That's just the way I that's just a gut feeling. Once he's a millionaire, he doesn't need the black girlfriend anymore, so he just tosses her down the stairs, I guess. That's enough of all that. Hello, Martin. Well, I thought you wanted to say something, Martin. You requested to talk, and your microphone's muted. I hope somebody wants to talk, because this is an open forum.
Yeah, it sounds and like they end up getting what they deserve.
Well, I was hoping it. I wasn't hoping. My first impression when I saw the bit about the basketball player was that she was probably white. But Jasmine Williams, I don't think she's white. She's almost certainly black. But I'm sure that he'll get a white one next, because now he has some money, right? I mean, you don't see white women chasing you don't see them chasing black sanitation workers around.
Yeah, but I mean, I hate to say it, but it's kind of fitting that the guys who were screwing around with the monkey over in Germany ended up contracting diseases.
Oh yeah, when are white men going to realize? When are white women going to realize that every alien of another race is a disease? That they are a biologically hostile entity. Those German men that slept with her sure as hell deserve what they got. I don't have any empathy for them. I just like the way they say it's a German pop star, and she's a negress. Yeah, you know, they love to, and I don't think it's too often you think black when you hear the word German, right?
Well, yeah, there was that crap Milli Vanilli back in the 80s, but that was too inspired as well.
Yeah, Pilgrim's looking at that page I'm looking for, and there's, that pig Jennifer Aniston's on there, too. Of course, that they promote all that pop star garbage. Oh, Michael Douglas has a throat tumor. I think that's about 50 years too late. That's my opinion of that.
And
the Craigslist killer, they should have probably let him loose and confined him to Long Island. I might get an objection for that from Richtar, but he's not here. I'm sorry, Martin.
Didn't Michael Douglas's father, Kirk Douglas, he had a couple of strokes.
I have no idea. I thought he was dead. I really couldn't care less.
He might die, but I mean, poor. You know, he probably had one like about 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, I brought up this page because ProThing sent me the link. And, well, we were talking about the so-called German pop star, right? She ain't one bit German. Look at her. She's a straight Negro. And a disgusting one at that.
Well, it's the Jews that proliferate all that garbage by bringing, all the pop stars over from the United States, all the rap crap stars or whatever. And
well, yes, they have.
As if it's the end thing to do.
Yep. They grow their garbage in our ghettos. They're the Petri dishes for Jewish trash and bring it all overseas as soon as they get it popular. Well, somebody better have something to say here, because I don't have a whole lot more to say. I got an interesting letter from somebody. Well, somebody forwarded to me a letter they received from the BIWF, and I'm going to try to read that. I'm going to ask them if I could read it on the air Thursday on the Euro Fellowship call. It's a pretty interesting letter. Those people are just unrepentant Satan worshipers is all they are. If you're not 2C-line, you're a Satan worshiper. Anybody that believes that the devil could be redeemed and the devil can go to heaven is a pure Satan worshiper. That's Satan worship right there. I don't know what else is Satan worship if that's not.
So are they still defending Yard Davidy?
Well, Yard Davidy is not mentioned in this letter, but he sure criticizes me, so. I'm sure he's a big fan of Yard Davidy.
August personages.
I would never call myself an august personage. I'm the furthest thing from an august personage. That's one pompous ass there, if you ask me. And anybody that calls himself an august personage is a pompous ass and a typical kike.
Yep.
That's incredible. That's obnoxious.
Actually, it's pretty typical.
The day I call myself something like that, I'd hope nobody shows up here, believe me. Just go jump off the roof, but I only live in a one-story house. There's a site called The Onion, and they do parodies that are actually pretty good sometimes. And I know some of the stuff is nasty, and it's very secular, but they did a parody on Jennifer Aniston adopting a husband out of a jungle in the Congo. It was really funny, and it was perfect. All these Hollywood actresses, that they're going over to Congo and adopting little black babies and tearing them out of their villages. Well, The Onion did a parody on Jennifer Aniston adopting an adult male Negro from the African jungles, and it was actually pretty funny. Oh yeah, The Onion also did a real good video on something called a Grabbler, and it's really a slap in the face to the Jews, and it's really great. You got to check that out. It's funny as hell. And The Onion, their stuff is real slick, and it's packaged up just like it's a real talk show. It looks just like a news presentation. It's slick as hell. What's that, Wing Martin?
That's the Grabbler.
Okay. Yeah, that Grabbler video, it's real slick, and it's a good parody and satire of the whole, you know, daytime TV talk show scene. That woman makes an opening remark that's just a real barbed stab at the vacuousness of the daytime talk show scene. I was really impressed by that video. We need more propaganda like that. We got to spread that stuff.
Did you have any thoughts on what Bruce was talking about yesterday as far as the courts being set up like a bank?
Not a clue. It doesn't matter how the courts are set up. They're Jew courts. They're not our courts anymore.
Truth.
And as soon as they introduced case law, they corrupted the entire court system.
How's that?
Because it's the Talmud all over again. It's not black and white anymore. It's the Talmud all over again. If you ever read a Mishnah, you'd read the same thing. It's the Mishnah is the model for American case law. It comes right from the Jews.
That everything is subjective?
Yeah, and that's what American case law is. It's all subjective. It's all, your prosecutor picks 10 cases, and your defense lawyer picks 10 cases, and the judge gets to pick which 10 he likes better. And he really has his mind made up already, and he could say just about anything he wants and justify anything he wants. It's just like a rabbinical decision in the Mishnah. This Old Testament law, this really don't mean that. Two men could have sex together if they stand up. They're not laying down. See, you're not violating the law. It says if a man lies with a man, he shall die. So you could go stand in a closet and do it. That'll be just fine. I'm not saying that's in the Mishnah, but that's a lot like it reads. That's a lot like the Talmud reads. It's ways to get around the law. That's all it is. And that's what case law is.
Yeah, wasn't there something about fornicating, but it could only be done through a bed sheet or something like that?
There's all kinds of crap in the Talmud. There's all kinds of perverted garbage in the Talmud. You could fornicate with a baby as long as it's not 9 years old and its hymen will grow back, so you have nothing to worry about. You really didn't violate her. It's disgusting, and that's the religion of the Jews, and we let these people into our society.
Yeah, actually, something that Warrior Son David was talking about about a week or so ago was about going out and just living out in the woods. And I remember I used to live up in Saranac Lake, New York for a period of time. And there was actually a monk, or a guy who was like a monk, who the guy had lived out in the woods by himself like 10, 15 years. So all he was doing out there was studying scripture.
Yeah, well, I already went through that. It was called federal prison, right? It was better than the woods. I didn't have to do my own trapping.
And the other thing, the whole thing about about coming out of Babylon and you know, not accepting the money. And the thing is, even if, you know, they talk about gold and silver being real money, but the thing is that the only reason why we need gold and silver is a way of trade between other peoples, because, you know, we're supposedly not to buy and sell, and that we should, you know, give to each other freely.
Right. When Babylon
amongst our own brothers and sisters.
When Babylon falls, your gold and your silver aren't going to do you any good.
Yeah, can't eat them.
What are you going to do with them? You can't eat them. Right. You can't hunt with them. You can't eat them. You can't fish with them. You can't live in them. They're not going to shelter you. Barter society.
Yeah, but money has to be done away with altogether, because, and the only reason why we're using the money is because we have this multiculturalism. Otherwise, if it was just all Israelites, then it would just be a true society.
Our next economy is a barter economy.
Yeah.
And if you expect to survive it, it better be a do unto your brother as you expected him to do unto you type of economy, too. It better be a Christian economy, as you bring up.
And in a true Christian economy, there's no Hutus or Tutsis or Puerto Ricans or anything else.
Well, of course not. There's no aliens, period. None whatsoever. Well, Galileo, I hope I made my argument against Kaiman clear, that's all. and understandable. He's a fraud. Hello, Pilgrim.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good evening. Okay. I just wanted to hear more about this barter economy you're expecting, and on which side of things is this to take place?
Well, well, when Babylon, when the system falls apart, the only thing we're going to have is barter. What do you think we're, what are we going to need money for? What are we going to need gold and silver for?
Well, now, is this post-apocalyptic in the New Kingdom, or is this on this side of things that you're expecting this?
Well, when, yeah, you know, the U.S. economy is doomed. I mean, I believe so. Just about everybody believes so. It's inevitable.
Well,
and if that were to happen...
Because the thing is, if they have their own printing press, they can just keep on printing up as much money as you know...
Well, of course, but it's going to come to the point where nobody's going to want it.
So you're anticipating this to happen at some point while we are still, how do I say it, on this side of things with... we still have our...
Well, right. We're told Babylon's going to fall, and then we have the opportunity to come out of her, right? We'll suffer her punishment. That's exactly the way it reads in Revelation 18. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Come out of her, my people, lest ye suffer her punishments. Right?
Right.
Okay, can you be a little more specific how you expect that to happen? Step by step. What you think. I mean, I know, you know, nobody... nobody has a blueprint, but... how do you see this on a timeline occurring?
Oh, I have no timeline. It could be, they could breathe fire into this beast for another 40 years, Pilgrim.
Oh, not length of time, but I mean in terms of sequence of what may happen. You say,
well,
Babylon
it's inevitable
falls.
That the American economy is going to fall apart. We have no manufacturing base whatsoever left. If there's no industry, there can't be a real economy. It's a house of cards waiting to crumble at any moment.
Sure. And some people are anticipating some sort of Mad Max scenario at that point. At some point, you know, well, at some point it's all going to be destroyed. When does that happen?
Well, I can't say that, but that's sometime after the economy falls. It is the return of Christ and the destruction of his enemies. And in the meantime, we are probably going to have to make do for ourselves for some period of time.
Okay, so you are anticipating... because if it happens that way, I tend to think the people with the Mad Max scenario are probably closer to correct, only because of the garbage that is still going to be left here wandering around the face of this country and this planet. But hopefully, either way, maybe I'll be dead before then. But I'm just curious, so then you think there's going to be some separation happening, that there's going to be pockets of Israelites operating in a barter economy while the rest of the mess and the chaos is sort of out there happening?
Well, you know, it could be right in the middle of the chaos, because a barter economy is the only way to do business fairly when your money isn't fair.
Okay, and how is all of the low-life criminal diseased mess, mamzer mud mess around us going to be dealt with?
Well, maybe they'll be the ones that are using all the funny money that the Jews keep printing, right? That's going to be totally useless.
Okay.
I believe we should get off the grid to the greatest extent possible.
Sure, but obviously, until the grid is totally destroyed, that is very, very difficult to do past a certain point.
Well, right, it is. But we should be as self-sufficient as possible. Need as little money as possible and spend as little money as possible. Help your brother, and the best way to do business with him is through barter. Because that's going to become a necessity, I believe. That's the best way out of Babylon.
Well, if it's doable, we'll see what happens. I can see them.
Right, well, we'll see
money.
What happens as the economy worsens.
A lot of money
worsens
into that plan.
Because the economy is going to get worse. And you're going to find more and more unemployable white people. And the scum are going to have money. Because they're getting the jobs. They're getting the bank loans. They're getting the business contracts.
You ever notice the inflation going on in the supermarkets?
Yeah, I notice it. It's crazy.
$2.50 for a loaf of bread?
Yeah. And the bread's practically worthless, too.
gallon of milk is almost, you know, like $4, $5.
I remember when a quart of milk was 10 cents.
And there was a piece in the paper today that China has actually become the second largest economy in the world, right behind the United States.
Yeah, well, we built it, right? The Jews built it at our expense.
With help from Jaime the Chink.
Yep, no doubt. Come on, people, somebody here has to want to say something or bring something up. I mean, not to disparage Martin and Pilgrim, but this is an open forum. And we're to share ideas. We need people here sharing them. Yeah, Pilgrim, I just see us on a steady decline. And our people are going to be more and more oppressed. And if they don't start coming out of the economy, their oppression, they're not going to overcome that oppression.
Yes, but you say that, but that is increasingly more and more difficult to do. You have to get out someplace where, in your best case scenario, where you can get some land where you could actually grow some food or keep some livestock. You're still operating in their money system. You're operating largely within what they are creating, even the market for seed.
We don't get the opportunity to come out totally until it crashes. But if we're not used to doing things for ourselves, we ain't going to be able to do things for ourselves when the time comes.
Okay.
You don't go from couch potato fast food weenie to self-supporting fisherman in a minute, right? Or hunter in a minute, right? It don't happen.
Of course not. I just don't know. I think, and I certainly can be wrong, I just think that your scenario is very hopeful. Unusually hopeful.
Yeah, well, we're told we win in the end, right?
Oh, I know that. I know we don't have a, like I said, a blueprint.
And Yahweh's always used the beasts to destroy each other. He has always used the beasts to destroy each other.
Oh, and that would be a lovely thing to behold.
Well, I think you'll see a great deal of that. And I've experienced a great deal of that in my life. I mean, I sat in prison for 12 years. Everybody knows I'm a white hater, and I'm watching the Negroes and the Mexicans kill each other all the time, and they leave me alone.
Oh, sure. You know, that's the best part, is watching Negro and the mud, you know, the blacks go at it, and, you know, all that. And also, you know, there's the disease factor. The Negroid population at this point is heavily diseased.
If you're a Negro, you're a walking disease. You are a disease.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, the AIDS and everything is the drug use, the crime and the gang activity. You know, they are their own worst enemies, really.
Well, white people should think of every Negro and every Mexican as a hostile biological entity as soon as they lay eyes on them.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what a disease is. You know, I can't prove it, but I'm pretty
certain. What's the plan? What's the plan to convert people?
the ashes. I'm pretty certain that the word black, you know, there's no real etymology for that that's explained by the dictionaries. It's not convincing at all, right? I mean, it's very tenuous. But there's a... there's a Hebrew word, which basically means a plague, and I think, and it's
like
very
blacker?
Much, it's yes, and I believe that that's where the word black came from, and that's why black is associated with evil and plague, because it came from the Hebrew word that means plague.
It's like you have Isaiah 14 queued up.
No, I don't. I don't have anything queued up.
He's requesting talk.
Oh, I can't even see that far. I took my glasses off to look at my concordance. How you doing, Isaiah?
How you doing?
I thought you were scripture up. When Martin said you were queued up.
you can hear me now. Okay. No, listening to you talk, I think it's kind of interesting. And the lady that's up for charges in Germany is black. I think she's more like I think she's a hybrid black.
Well, yeah, she's some kind of mixture, but it don't matter.
No, it doesn't make a difference at all.
That just makes it worse.
Because AIDS runs rampant in the black population. She's a hybrid. She's got more disease as it is. I've seemed to always have a lot of diseases, the walking disease. Like, that's what, that's probably the Hispanics. A lot of leukemia and blood disease are in Hispanic races. That's why they have to have a lot of large families, because they're either getting killed by the disease or killed by their own races or killed by the blacks.
I got two Hebrew words here. One is Strong's number 1082. It's balag, B-A-L-A-G, a primitive root, to break off or break loose, to desist or invade with destruction.
Wow.
Now, Strong's Hebrew number 1110, balak, B-A-L-A-Q, means to annihilate or make waste. Now, I think that that's the source not only of the English word plague, P-L-A-G-U-E, but also of the English word black. They are a plague. There is no doubt. And black was seen as the representative of death, of plague, of sickness, of disease, of sin, of evil. And they that they are the personification of all that. Look at them. There's absolutely no, Yahweh's the author of language, and he's the author of the world, right? And there's no disparity between language, our true language, and the meanings of words, and the natural world around us, and the people in it.
Well, Yahweh is he's the author of most languages anyway. That I don't think Hispanic necessarily.
the bastard languages. You talking about those two languages?
Yeah, Yiddish and Spanish and Spanish in Mexico is not the same Spanish in Spain.
But no, Castilian could be a beautiful language. Mexican Spanish is garbage.
So that's true.
It's gutter garbage.
And then sign language is another language that God didn't create either. But Helen Keller was kind of a universalist and anti-Christian anyway.
Wasn't she a Jew?
I think she was. Probably was.
Well, they made her a heroine, so she must be.
Well, they made Anne Frank heroin too. Well, the last
anybody that believes Anne Frank has to be on heroin.
Well, the last two chapters of Anne Frank's diary was written in ballpoint pen, and ballpoint pen wasn't invented until 1953.
Not only that, but there was a couple different styles of handwriting.
Yeah, but her father was even taken to court, charged with plagiarism. Yeah.
Well, don't worry. All Jews are going to be converted soon.
Yeah, they're going to be converted all right. I wonder how well they can swim in their asbestos suits.
Yeah, that way the buyer's tough.
Like Ted Kennedy's already down there, and I think Jerry Falwell's probably swimming around down there too in one of his life rafts or something. Oh, he's another one. Fudge. I was listening to actually pretty good videos on what's his name? The guy that started the sex revolution, Alfred Kinsey. Same group that did, they sold their souls for rock and roll.
Yeah, I don't know if Albert Kinsey was actually a Jew. He was raised a Protestant, but I noted he had a partner that was a Jew. I forget her name.
Was that Height?
Was a Jew.
Sheer Height. I'm pretty sure she was a Jew.
I think Kinsey could have been a Jew, too, because a lot of Jews will hide behind Protestantism all the time. I was listening to this, what's his name, James Wickstrom talking about the Jews not being God's chosen people. He mentioned certain things about Jews hiding behind certain religions and certain churches and so forth. So Kinsey could very well have been a Jew.
Well, they did it as Jesuits for 400 years. They've gotten away with that charade.
Well, yeah, the Jews have taken over the Roman Catholic Church as if the Roman Catholic Church needed to be taken over by anybody else but pagans.
The proof to me is that the yarmulkes the Cardinals wear. That's all I have to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't tell me
there's no yarmulkes.
Yeah, the Babylonian headdress that they wear.
The bright red yarmulkes.
Yeah.
That's the color of Esau.
Red, yeah. Well, Kremlin in Russian means, or red square actually means, it's part of that too in Russia. Kremlin kind of means red square, beautiful square, or something like that. But I think that Alfred Kinsey's probably was a Jew. But it's a good documentary on his whole sexual revolution sort of thing. But the problem is that there people that do these videos are Judeo-Christians. Because we know there's no such thing as Judeo-Christian. So
a Judeo-Christian is basically a Talmudized Christian.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
It's the Talmud for the Goyim.
Yeah, true. So they're basically saying this is all happening, but they're not even realizing that it's the Jews that they support actually doing it. I mean, who are your homosexuals and pornographers and pedophiles? The Jews. It's a known fact.
Well, probably about 95% of the pornographers are Jews, at least.
Probably, and the others probably are half-breeds. So they're finding out that a lot of Mexicans are finding out that they're actually Jewish. Or from
Clinton has a lot of material on his website that demonstrates that. shows that only Jews and Mexicans have certain rare cancers and other diseases.
Well, the Jews have got 112 different diseases of their own. Their own doctors call them mentally ill. Their own doctors said they should be locked up and for a long, long time, like forever.
well, that's why the big push towards open public health care and free health care, that all comes from the Jews.
Yeah, it does.
If we didn't have the Jews and other mixed races amongst us that I believe are much more heavily diseased than white people are, then health care in this country would probably be about one quarter the size that it is, right? Or maybe even less.
Yeah. I think so.
Well, isn't it that the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, is that the current department, that their budget's like twice that of the Pentagon?
Well, I don't know, but I wouldn't doubt it. It wouldn't surprise me.
Now, with all the millions of Hispanics coming into this country, and they're, you know, they're this kind of nasty, it's going to be even worse, a lot worse. But this James Wickstrom kind of said, kind of interesting. He's talking about South Africa and how the blacks in South Africa have already told the whites, they're saying that they're going to start killing whites just because they're white. After Mandela dies, they're going to start killing white people. And he's basically saying the same thing's probably going to happen here in the United States, too. I wouldn't doubt that at all.
The blacks are highly. See, they outnumber them in South Africa. They don't outnumber us here. They're heavy pockets of them. But
really, like,
when you 14%? Start, when you start taking out of the black population, very small children, let's say very elderly, let's say people who are so drugged out that they're useless for much of anything, the ill, those in prison, you don't, and let's take out the uppity middle class Negro that's gained a bit and has something to lose and may not be as likely to want to take to the street rioting, their numbers go down even more. So they are not going to go out en masse killing all the white people in America.
Yeah, that's probably true. So
no, they'd be annihilated. They'd be annihilated real quick.
There are certain black areas I wouldn't want to go near. But other than that, they are not that kind of a threat to us here.
And the white people in the inner cities that are actually associating with Negroes are the ones that they'll kill first. The Wiggers are the ones that they'll kill first.
They're white hoes.
Yeah,
the Wiggers and the liberals that think there's nothing wrong with them, right?
And that's just gene pool cleanup.
That's true. Well, the Bible does say that God works in strange ways. That could be some of the strange ways that God's going to be working, too.
Well, he's always used our enemies against themselves, against each other. There are many examples of that.
And the Negroes and the Mexicans are never going to get on the same page to work together.
No, they hate each other. And all the time, everywhere. They hate each other in prison.
Puerto Ricans hate Mexicans, we hate blacks, we hate Puerto Ricans, we hate blacks.
Well, let me tell you something. The Mexicans hate each other. The Texas Mexicans and the California Mexicans and the Mexico Mexicans are always stabbing and killing each other.
Well, you remember that Hispanic singer, Selena? She died in 93, and she was a Tex-Mex. I talked to Mexicans, and most of them didn't even know who she was. because her fan base is in Texas Mexicana. So she was basically like a hybrid, and the girl that killed her was a Mexican who was her fan club, president of her fan club. So she was making a lot of money, and also she was dipping her in the cookie jar, so to speak, taken from the fan club, and Selena found out about it. So Selena confronted her with it, and Mexicans, who doesn't really like Selena at all because she's a Tex-Mex, just went after her with a gun and killed her.
Yeah, well, that's how the Mexicans, they're just like Jews and Negroes. At every enterprise to them is a criminal enterprise.
Well, yeah. They love you when they're on your payroll, but when you cut them off, they're out to kill you.
I just found that out real early in my prison career. If they think that they got something coming from you, they'll do anything for you. They'll kiss your ass big time. But as soon as they find out they can't get anything out of you, they'll hate you and do everything they can to show it.
It was kind of interesting, right? About two months after Katrina hit, and there, Fox News, believe it or not, Fox News had this news item that was spiked shortly afterwards. But I saw it, that they mentioned how after Katrina hit, like 2 months afterwards, there wasn't any crime in New Orleans. And nobody could understand. The cops couldn't understand it. And the supervisors for the police department had to go around the city to make sure their police officers were awake. Found a number of them asleep on midnight shift and p.m. shift because there was actually no crime. And the police officers actually saw in the buildings of stores, they're open to the public. Anybody could walk in there and just take anything they wanted. But they saw white men in the stores with guns in their hands with a cooler of sandwiches, a cooler of beer. They asked him, "What are you doing?" And the guy would say, "Well, I'm protecting this store." And they said, "Well, it's nice that you're protecting this store from me, protecting your own property." And the guy said, "This isn't my property." The guy would say, "Well, whose property is it?" And he said, "I don't know, but I'm protecting it." And Tara's story was really interesting because 93% of the people in New Orleans were black. And they were moved out because of Katrina. That leaving the 7% the whites, and there was no crime at all. Crime went to zero. And whites are even protecting other white business owners, possibly even some black business owners, from any vandalism. And only whites would do that. But within a couple of months or so, the Fox News just took it off the air. You want anybody else to see it?
Well, but they severely underreport black crime, and they even more severely underreport black on white crime.
Then I think like 2 weeks after they allowed blacks to get back into New Orleans, within a week, 5 or 6 blacks were killed by the blacks.
Well, of
crime
course,
started going up. But you know, the rape amongst the white race is so small that the FBI doesn't even have any statistics for it. I mean, like less than 10.
Yeah, you know, my whole, I worked in a county jail for almost 12 years, and I can only remember 2 white rapists off the top of my head. But at least 2 Negroes a night got arrested for rape. And when a Negro got arrested for rape, well, we used to look at the paperwork, and if it was a black victim, we'd ask him why he didn't pay. Why didn't you just pay her? Make it easy.
True, that's true.
You stereotyping racist, you.
All the time. True, I mean, but 99% of the time it's right. Stereotypes are right a great deal of the time. They may not be 100%, but that's your gut feeling. You got to roll with it.
What are you, cheap? Why didn't you just pay her?
Right. Usually it was an argument about that very thing.
Right, yeah.
She'd cry rape because he didn't give her $20. Yeah, it was cheap back then.
Yeah, I worked for the Department of Mental Health in Illinois, and I worked there for over 20 years. And like 94% of your patients are black. And most of your employees are black. Because if you're white, you can you deal with a black patient who's done something really stupid. He's going to start screaming at you about racism right off the bat. So you got to use a black person to talk to him. Pretty amazing. But most of them were, I mean, they're worse than even in your correctional centers. Because you could hardly touch them. And so I had to deal with that all the time. And a lot of it was just rapists and murderers and some. And I could tell you stories that I won't tell you over the air because it's probably, I'd probably be taken off the air if I did. But it gets pretty nasty what they've done.
Well, like Paul says, the things they do in secret are unmentionable. A lot of the things they do in public are really unmentionable.
Yeah, but we always cater to them. We go to Haiti and help those people out. Forget about the whites that are in Tent City and San Diego and New York and New Jersey and Philadelphia. Probably here in Illinois, too. But you see, I don't know why. They always have to adopt black kids or Asian kids or something. What, are they cuter than white kids or what? No, I don't understand that.
I think the new trend now is Chinese. They all want to adopt Chinese babies now.
And especially girls.
Yeah, because they're being killed all the time.
That's how the Jews are going to lure the Chinese guys here as soldiers, because all the Chinese girls are going to be here.
Yeah, very possible. If they're not starved to death. I guess in China, that's what they do with the little girl, baby girls. But yeah, I think that's what it is. They starve them to death because they don't want to have any girls.
Yeah, well, they're heathens. There's no doubt about that. Not in my mind.
Yeah, like I've said before, if you're going to get a dog or a cat, get a European dog or cat. Because in Africa and your Far East, your Asian countries, they eat the dogs and cats. They use them for religious rituals. And the dogs and cats know that. So they're a little bit more violent. Where in Europe, the dogs and cats, they're nice and wonderful because they're just like the people, gentle and kind and considerate. But the cats and dogs in Europe and Africa, or Africa and Asia, are like that. They know it's coming.
Well, what else is going on here? Somebody has to have something to say. This is an open forum. Come on, people.
All three of us, huh?
If you want to talk, highlight your name, right-click it, and request talk power, and I'll turn your microphone on. We can't have an open forum if nobody wants to talk.
Come on, people. You've got to say something.
Well, I'd like to hear more about this end-time scenario. Bill?
Well, you will when Eli and I do the Book of Revelation.
I know. I mean, give me a little Reader's Digest version here. Now we've gotten this far. The economy has crumbled, and we have Israelites somehow out there raising food or whatever, spinning cloth or whatever to barter with each other, while the Jews and the Muds are running amok around us.
And half of our people with them.
Oh, yes, the Uyghurs and the
liberals. They'll be marrying and giving in marriage.
Okay. Then what happens? What happens next? This goes on for a while. Then what?
All the good people get raptured.
No. Wrong. Inflation.
Well, we're told the system's going to fall, and I believe when the system falls, that the white people that are still in the cities, that are still in, partying it up with the Jews and the mongrels, well, they're going to be punished first, and they're going to be punished by the aliens.
Okay. When does the big finale happen?
Sometime after that. Who knows how long? Maybe we do something with military invasion. Maybe we don't. We've already been invaded. There's no doubt. I think all of the qualifications of Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 are already here. That the aliens have invaded us and have been devouring our coast for 100 years. Now, is that accompanied by a military invasion? I wouldn't rule one out, but I don't think it's absolutely necessary either.
Okay, so we're reduced down to some Mad Max, semi-Mad Max existence here.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a total Mad Max scenario. I seriously doubt it.
So we're expecting then probably some plagues or whatever to begin happening amongst the heathen crowds.
Yeah, well, I believe that the travails of that we've experienced in this age, they are the seven vials, the world wars and things like that.
And at some point then, Yeshua and the heavenly hosts arrive on the scene. Yeah.
Well, that's a necessary component of Christian belief, yes.
But I also believe.
Okay, how do you think that might happen? I mean, we're speculating. How do you think
I don't like to speculate on that.
Might occur.
I don't like to speculate on that.
Okay.
I don't. I don't. It gets, you know, you get into arguing about UFOs, you get into arguing about all kinds of crazy apocalyptic scenarios that are all vain. I don't like to go there.
I think that God's going to be pulling his people out of the way, too. He might be protecting them. A lot of this, and I think a lot of that the fighting is going to be amongst these aliens, blacks, and so forth.
Well, yeah, like I said, he's always used the aliens to destroy each other.
Well, yeah, the biggest enemy of a Mexican is another Mexican. Same thing with blacks. I mean, you get some black from the Zulu tribe that meets a black from another tribe. They hate each other. And that's the problem they had with South Africa during apartheid. They had to build a wall between black sections, because one black would be of a different tribe than another black, and they'd be trying to kill each other. Even when the blacks were escorted to work, they'd be throwing rocks at them. So I think that God's going to pull his own people out of the way. Just watch the Jews and the blacks and Spanish fight it out.
Well, right. But I also think that the Jews going to fully believe that he has the whites right where he wants them.
Well, he's going to believe that, yeah. That's the way that Jew is.
Did Joel happen to see where Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are getting ready to go into to some sort of a session with congressional leaders that are looking for more money, starting on Thursday, I believe it is.
Well, why wouldn't they? I mean, we've already mortgaged our grandchildren 10 generations out. Why not 10 more, right?
Yeah.
It's only money. It's only toilet paper.
Well, it's all paper. It's not worth anything. That's surprising. I mean, you think that Obama's still going to be in office when the end's going to come, or do you think he's going to be kicked out of office? Or
yeah, that'd be speculation.
Well, that's speculation. I don't like to speculate, but I don't think it's going to be that soon either.
I don't think so either.
I tend to think this thing is going to drag on for a while.
I tend to think the thing can change until most white people realize that they're in serious trouble.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a while yet.
It's amazing how blind so many of them are. They're just blind. Still don't want to hear about it.
And nothing can ever change for the better until we repent and return to God.
True. That means they have to get away from the football games and baseball games. And
all the idolatry has to go. And that might take a Mad Max scenario, Pilgrim.
Well, yeah, just like it's sometimes a drunk has to get right down close to dying before he can ever realize the truth and wake up to it. I mean,
sometimes they don't.
When you're dealing with savage races, Jews, insane, diseased Wiggers and liberals.
What's a Wigger?
What's a Wigger?
Yeah.
White person acting like a nigger.
Oh, okay. Wigger.
You never heard that before?
No, I never had. Sorry.
Wow. Yeah, Wiggers and Wiggers and Chiggers.
But I don't know how. If it's going to drag out that long, I don't know how you can avoid something on the order of a Mad Max scenario. I mean, because you're dealing with creatures that can't, that's really their natural state. That's the natural level at which they exist anyway.
Oh, they're hunters and gatherers, too, so. The blacks
I'm talking about feral Negroes and Mexican mongrels and, you know,
there's a difference between a hunter-gatherer and a scavenger. Yeah. Negroes are not hunter-gatherers, they're scavengers. Their natural state in Africa, they eat cadavers.
Well, yeah, that's true. They, they're cannibalistic. There's many tribes, I've even seen videos on that. But I guess originally they were one time hunters and gatherers, and they were not civilization builders. White race was right. White race is one that established literally every culture and civilization throughout the world.
Well, right. But I think hunter gatherer is a Jewish paradigm that was invented to give the beasts some credit, right? I don't think the beasts deserve any credit because I don't think they were really, hunter gatherer civilization infers that they were civilized.
No, they're pickers and pullers. They pick fleas off each other. They pull their lips out and stick things in there. No, they don't have enough.
I'm sorry. It's funny.
I mean, it's YouTube videos that show them that these African tribes descending on elephants that died in the field and hacking all the meat off it. I don't consider that hunter-gatherer. A hunter-gatherer is a planned society. The Negroes are never a planned society.
Well, yeah, they're
scavengers. Cannibals and scavengers.
The only thing they ever built is a dugout canoe, and they needed help for that. But they were never civilization builders. Even though there is a stupid black theology that says that blacks were in Ireland first, and we were in all over, like North America first, and that whites were created by black doctors, something like that, something really stupid.
Yeah, well, everything they say is stupid. They are the effigy of stupidity.
Well, for a long time they were called animal. They're called a higher form of apes or gorillas. Now, I don't know how true that is, but I've never seen a gorilla be able to talk.
Is that your background noise there?
Not mine. We got no background noise.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my dumb browser. I apologize. This browser insisted on starting where I left it off days ago, and it loaded a YouTube that just surprised me, that's all. I hate when browsers do that. I just wanted to start with my home page when I open it.
Yeah.
I
go ahead.
Well, White Ceramic Bowl put a picture of some Jesuits into the forum, and they four out of five of them look like Jews, right? Well, in this case, maybe six out of eight of them look like Jews, and one of them's a Negro, and he's probably part Jew too.
Well, so many Jews hide behind names and hide, but I mean, there's so many Jews that look almost white, so something difficult to know who is or isn't. There's like a lot of Hispanics who got blonde hair, reddish hair, but if you look real closely to them, you can see the Hispanic tint to the faces.
Yeah, well, they're half Irish.
Well, yeah, very possible.
A lot of American Hispanics are half Irish, I hate to say.
And most of your blacks in the United States are actually hybrids, too.
Well, there's a big crossbreeding between the Irish and Hispanic communities, which has been brought to us by the Catholic Church.
Of course. I don't understand that. I don't even understand how anybody could get involved in interracial anything.
Well, the fact that these beasts are quote-unquote Catholics legitimizes them.
Yeah, that's true, it does.
No, we call them Hispanics. That's a lie, too, because they're not Spanish.
No, they're Hispanic, the cross. They're hybrids.
Well, right, they're half-breed Mams or Negro Indians or some kind of mixture thereof.
Well, Puerto Rican is Spanish and Indian, Black and Indian, French and Indian. I think Mexican is the same thing.
Calling them Hispanic gives them a credibility they don't merit.
Well, yeah, except that it's actually saying that they're crossbreeds because they're not Spanish.
Just like that word Latino is a lie.
Was it Ladino?
It should be. Is Ladino, and that's a Sephardic Jewish dialect.
Well, where did Latino come from? Latin?
Well, I think Clifton's right. It came from the Ladino Jews that went that moved to South America with the conquistadors after they bought themselves passage to escape the Inquisition, settled in South America and continued to call themselves Ladinos, and they spoke a Yiddish dialect called Ladino. And in the 1980s, all of a sudden, they started calling themselves Latinos, which is a straight lie. And the word didn't find its way into our dictionaries until the 1980s.
Oh, that's interesting. So now a lot of your Hispanics call themselves Latinos. Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, they've accepted Jewish propaganda, too. They're about as Latin as my dog. In fact, I think my dog's more Latin.
More Latin.
I think Caesar would have liked him better.
Probably. I know. I worked in the part of mental health and everything, all these people.
Well, if anybody wants to say anything, right-click your name and request to talk, and I'll turn your microphone on. But we need some more talkers here. Let's go.
Let's talk.
Now, this is an open forum, I mean.
You got a lot of people here, too. Start counting them.
Don't count them all. Three of them are me.
Three of you? Good.
I'm a hog.
Yes. You're not an Avenger, are you?
No.
You got Bob in California. Mr. Emmeiser here, too?
Yes, he is.
Ooh.
Hello, Clifton. Clifton, let me know if you want me to turn your microphone on. I'd be happy to.
Cliff?
Well, I guess there aren't any takers, so I'm going to sit here and sing. No, I'm kidding.
Doesn't Pastor Eli ever come to your forums at all? I have never seen him on your forums.
No, Eli's only been here once, but, yeah, you know, he works for a living. He works hard, so I don't compel him. I wouldn't try to coerce him, right? He has a lot of other stuff he likes to do, too.
Yeah, I'm retired, so I don't. I guess I should find myself a part-time job if there's any out there. I'm waiting for the time people walk down the street or drive down the street signs saying, whites need not apply. Yeah, I think it's probably coming.
Well, it's practically here in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the fellows that hangs out here all the time told me that he went as a contractor and put a bid in and was told that because he didn't fit any of the minority categories, that they weren't going to use him, period. They couldn't use him. And in a lot of ways, whites need not apply now.
Yeah. But that went to Manpower a few years ago. And
The cure for that is for whites to wake the hell up and stop doing business with minorities. That's all.
Yeah. That's kind of technically against the law.
No, it's not against the law. How's it against the law? It's only technically against the law if you have government contracts. If you have government contracts, you have to deal with minorities.
But I thought if you had a business or something like that, you had to deal with them too.
You could sell to them, but you don't have to buy anything from them.
There are always ways not to hire somebody.
Well, this is you can.
Yeah, but if you're a large corporation nowadays or a large company, you have to have some minorities on there.
Yeah, but that, yeah.
I forget what
only when you have government contracts. You don't have to have minorities unless you have government contracts.
Yeah.
They don't monitor you unless you have government contracts. I know. I worked for a corporation that makes a $50 million a year company. That's not a huge company, but it's big enough. I mean, $50 million a year in 1993 was all right, right? It's a lawn and garden manufacturer. That's probably the biggest company I worked for, and you know, outside of the government. And they didn't have any regulation whatsoever until they got an Air Force contract. And once they took this Air Force contract, in came the EEOC monitoring how many employees they had, how many women, how many men, how many women managers, how many minority managers, and regulating every little facet of their existence.
Yeah, that's the magic number, warrior son of David. When I was working at this one office, we never went over 49 employees.
Really? Huh.
Well, if you're that big a company, you're probably not going to be involved in Christian identity or any truth anyway.
No, once you hit 50, the federal government comes in and lays a lot more requirements on you.
Yeah. See, another thing is they say that you're supposed to be like 20% minority, but then they break that down because if you have two or three blacks, you have to have two or three Hispanics and two or three Asians, two or three Puerto Ricans. Before long, most of your company is minorities.
Well, a lot of this must be, you know, a lot more recent than my experience. However, if nobody can force you. You have spending decisions, personal spending decisions, or even small business spending decisions. Nobody can force you to spend your money on a black business or a Hispanic business, or to go buy products from an Indian or a Chinaman. Nobody can force you to do that. If you do that, it's your own conscious decision.
Yeah, you can shop wherever you want to shop. And on a personal level, like hiring a gardener, you can hire whoever you want. Oh, Bob in California wants to talk. But
don't go to McDonald's.
Hello, Rob.
Even for a smaller company, if you're hiring, you still have to be a little careful because you don't want somebody coming at you with a lawsuit. So, I would get tons of resumes for a job. Everything I knew was black went to one side and contacted, you know. But, you know, you got to find easy ways around, little tricky ways to work around it so you don't invite trouble.
Huh.
I thought I'd pipe in on this one because I just recently had a with gardeners for my house and my business on the East Coast. You know, you got a selection between Hispanic group and what little few whites are left. And, of course, the whites are more expensive than the Hispanic group, but that's who I ended up going with.
Well, right. And that's the right thing to do is to spend a few extra bucks and hire a white man.
Yeah, I made sure.
And that's
whole white.
That's what we should all do.
I didn't want to hire a white guy that just had himself as the white leader. I wanted white workers underneath him because why not?
Right.
You know,
probably done right then.
Yeah, but that's not, doesn't happen. That's not possible all the time because there's just some positions that they don't exist in anymore.
It's very hard to find.
Yeah, like try to find white cleaning people. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, it's
or landscapers.
No, these guys are landscapers. You can find some more of the high-end landscapers are still available. I mean, you're going to pay more, but I don't – if I can find someone, I tend to go that way even if they are a little higher. What I've had trouble with, though, is the cleaning. It's really difficult in the cleaning area.
Huh.
On the West Coast, it's impossible. Just forget it. Gardening and cleaning here are impossible.
Well – the Mexican mayor of Los Angeles says that Los Angeles is now a Mexican town, no longer an American town.
I was just talking to a guy that traveled a lot of the states, and he's saying that most of Western America is gone. It's any of the large cities.
And when I worked at the state hospital, we used to have visitation at Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday from 1 to 3. And I was helping him with visitation. A Mexican lady came in, and she had to show an ID card and had to sign her in. She gave me a Mexican driver's license with an Aurora, Illinois address.
Wow.
And, a Mexican driver's license with an Aurora, Illinois address. The reason is because Aurora, Illinois is no longer an American town. It's all Mexican.
Yeah, Bill, I wanted to preempt any possibility of you singing again, so I threw up a YouTube for you.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm downloading it now, actually. It might end up on White Entertainment Television. I can't listen to it right now, but I'll play it later.
Well, she's supposed to be the new YouTube sensation, got voted the highest. I thought it was kind of amusing.
Who's that?
Jackie Ivanko, I think her name.
There's no way that's coming out of that little girl.
But if you check out all of her, there's a lot of videos on the side there, and it's definitely her. It's unbelievable.
Well, how old is she?
It says in a couple 10 or of the titles 11. There she's 10. She, yeah, I don't.
I was going to guess 12, but they mature quicker today.
Anyhow, I was going to sing Delta Dawn.
That's all we need is a feminist pop 70s. Garbage.
I thought you would appreciate that, though.
Is that noise, that girl? I looked at her, but I couldn't play her. Well, I could play her if I wanted everybody to hear it, but I don't want to do that to you.
No, the hiring thing is a real big problem now. It's very frustrating. I had a I do have a small company. Bill's been to my house. Actually, he's been to both of my places on the East Coast, and I recently bought a house, and I had a cleaning lady that was white that I liked her personality, but she didn't clean, so I had to fire her. That's the only one I could find. It was white.
Yeah, well, right. Hiring whites shouldn't mean that you should pay people to do nothing, right? I mean, that you would expect whites to do a better job and to be more self-conscious. And generally,
not
we
anymore.
Are.
Well, I'd have to say that the groundkeeping guy is excellent. He really is good. So he's expensive, but he's good. But I couldn't take the cleaning lady anymore. I mean, there's only so much I can take, even if you're white.
Really?
Yeah. I got into the house, and I had it was completely empty, and I had the hardwood floors had to be done before I went into it. And you know what that does? That puts dust all over the place. Well, I got into a couple of rooms, and we had several weeks before we moved anything in and to get it cleaned, and she told me she cleaned it. And the first thing I did is hit the switch on the wall, and she hadn't cleaned any of the fans, and that dust just basically covered everything in the room. It was on top of the fan blades, and foosh, giant dust cloud. That was just leading up to my firing. I mean, that was the final straw.
Well, yeah, you should clean a room from the top down. That only makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a Hispanic cleaning lady, you got to hide your wallet.
No, we haven't had that problem here on the West Coast. I mean, that's all that there is here. There's a real, just like with any other group, there's a real mixed breed in this Hispanic group. There are some that are just incredible workers, but there you've got the crime rate is astronomical now. So, but there's, I guess, the majority of them are rotten. That's my experience out here.
I've talked to people that said that blacks won't, or Hispanics won't even work with other Hispanics from another town.
No, I haven't seen that out here.
I've heard that.
They're territorial-minded, the Mexicans. They're very territorial people.
Over at the state hospital, they used to do something stupid, like have the black gangster disciples put them in the same ward with the Latin kings. So they'd be fighting all the time. You have to break it up, you know. Stupid stuff like that.
Well, I just
the Latin kings, anybody could be a Latin king. They have white Latin kings, black Latin kings. They don't care anything about ethnicity.
You know that Ramsey guy that I don't know if you particularly like him.
Yusuf Ramsey, or
I think it's the I showed Billy that he's kind of a comedian guy, and he had a thing on there. He was all happy, pretending he was happy about this new Latino museum. If I could find that video. Guys were talking about Latins isn't, or Latino really is not Latino, and he was making fun of that the other day.
Yeah, Latino isn't Latino, it's Ladino, and they're Jews.
Yeah.
They might be Spanish-speaking Jews, but they're Jews.
Well, he made a funny video where he was
they might be half Indian Spanish-speaking Jews, but they're Jews.
They're high fits, Spanish, black, white.
Find this.
And God didn't create them either. God didn't create the hybrids.
Nope. And he can't be blamed for them, and he sure as hell isn't going to take the credit for them. Every plant my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Pretty clear. I'm on Clifton's site, and I'm going to find a paper that the link that shows that the so-called, here it is. This is one paper, all right? There's a lot of other papers, but... That this is one. Clifton wrote about this on his site. And here's one of the supporting documents that he used. Now, that's a supporting document he used for one of his papers that basically explained that the Mexicans are part Jew. That they're the seed of Satan, too. That they are also the seed of Cain.
That doesn't surprise me with the crime rate the way it is.
Yeah, they're very violent.
Oh, here's that spoof on Latin versus Latino. If anybody cares for spoof, I just think this guy's funny. It's my kind of humor.
What site is it?
It's a YouTube.
The YouTube site. I can't get that Clifton's thing to come up.
Yeah, I can't get it to come up either.
It's probably because probably 40 of us are trying to do it at the same time.
I'm already downloading it.
So you're the problem.
Well, that's what I've been told all my life. Yes, WCB beans are seeds. And Mexicans don't have a barbecue because they can't keep them on the grill.
Because it keeps falling through the grill.
Well, if anybody else has anything to say, just ask and I'll unmute your mic. Kent, I see you lingering there. You've been quiet the last couple of weeks. That's I'm not trying to compel you, but I'm just teasing you. Clifton.
Yeah, where is Cliff?
Matt, Cheryl, Papa Tad.
I have a guest here.
Hey, Bill, I wanted to ask you on, I was, I think
yes,
it was
yes, right. Yes.
Do you have any typos in your New Testament?
Do I have any what?
Typos, or is it typos.
Yeah, there's typos. There's three that I found. I mean, it's never going to be perfect, right? I can't make it perfect. That there are three typos. They're all small typos, and they're easily, yeah, you know, there's a U instead of a your, or vice versa. And there's one place where the word B is missing, B-E. But in context, you won't even notice it's missing.
Okay.
And evidently, since about six proofreaders, including myself, about three times didn't notice it was missing.
I thought in Thessalonians I read the other night, I haven't checked it. I haven't checked other translations, but I thought you had a though there instead of a through instead of a. I have to look it up again.
Well, that's a possibility. Yeah, I would like to know about it.
Yeah,
you know,
it looked
if
like it was an R left out.
Well, that's a possibility because that's the kind of typo that you know, the spell checker doesn't check, and it's amazing how much your brain fills in for you. And substitutes, you could read something eight times and not catch the error in it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then if you put it down and pick it up 3 months later and read it, it hits you in the face, right?
Who?
Did I hear my name?
Hello, Clifton. I was just trying to prod people into coming on and talking, that's all. I mean, this is an open forum. And we were talking about one of your favorite subjects, too, the Mexican Jews or the Jewish Mexicans. I don't know which way to call
it. I had to type out the descriptions from four or five dictionaries in that paper and spatial fonts because I tried to do it exactly as dictionary had done it, and quite a project.
Here's the paper. I was looking for it. I couldn't quite remember what you called it. It's been so long. It's Mexicans Traced to Cain.
Wow.
There it is, right there.
It's interesting.
Well, it just shows that a lot of the Mexicans are Jews. That's all, and they are. So if they're Jews, then they're traceable to Cain.
Oh, no, we're being invaded
by them. I'm getting some bad feedback from some. I think it's from you, Isaiah. Yeah, your microphone's a little too sensitive.
Really? Okay, I'll see if I can do something about that.
Yeah, you can click settings, options, choose capture, and slide that bar over to the left a little.
Left or to the right?
Well, to the left to make your microphone less sensitive.
How about zero?
Is it on zero now? Well, I'm not. Hold it. Don't say anything. I mean, I'm not setting it off anymore, so that's good.
You know, I got Clifton's Mexican one, but I can't get the other one to come up yet still.
I downloaded that YouTube already. It's down. It's sitting on my desktop on my laptop. American Latino Museum comes to Washington. Oh, Isaiah, you made it worse. Whatever you did, it's a lot worse.
Oh, I did?
You gotta go.
Okay, sorry, sir. I'll go back. Maybe I'll go the other way around.
You had it right for a second there.
I have it on zero now, so.
Yeah, well, it was fine a second ago. Maybe you should put it on, like, negative 10.
Okay. How about if I put echo reduction?
Yeah, well, you could hit that, too. But negative 10 would work better.
Okay, it's on negative 10.
Okay, well, if I'm not. Do you have a headset?
No.
Well, that's the problem.
Is that me?
Yeah, you might have to use push to talk.
Push to talk? Push to talk? Push what to talk?
You might have to use
you pick the button.
That button right there?
No, you have to select the hotkey.
Oh. They go to settings again, or hotkey?
F12 is a good one.
12 is a good hotkey?
F12.
No. F12 on the keyboard is hardly ever used.
This is getting way too annoying for a recording program.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. Add. How do you do it? Just hit F12 and...
I say, let me know when you when you get the hotkey thing straightened out. I'm sorry, but that's the feedback was, it was during when you first came on, it was there, but it wasn't half as bad as it's been the last 5 minutes. It's just terrible. I can't have a recorded program with that kind of feedback. That's just a huge distraction. I mean, if there's nothing to talk about, that's better. Come on, somebody say something before we all fall asleep.
So that tracing of the Mexicans, that was both through the Murano Jews and also through the Chinese being related to Cain?
Well, if the Mexican... No, it's because the Mexicans are actually Jews. A lot of the South Americans are really Jews. I mean, I've said it a few times. I wish I had the book. I don't have the book anymore, but I had a book some years ago, and it had in it reproduced a letter from the Bishop of Havana, I believe it was. It was either Havana or San Juan. Well, yeah, Cuba, yeah, you know, Havana was almost half Jewish. And this bishop was writing back to Spain complaining about the number of Jews that had come to Cuba. Unless it was San Juan, but I think it was Havana.
Yeah, it was Havana.
Yeah, all the major cities, well, those settlements that became major cities throughout South America, Jews infested them all and blended right in with the local populations, the Indians, the Mestizo, the Spaniards, whoever they could.
Well, if you can trace the Mexicans, they had the Cliff, City of Cain.
Right.
Well, what about from the upside as well, that the Asiatics when Cain went to the East?
Well, I don't think Cain's the father of the Chinese people, right?
But,
I mean, where the East was wasn't necessarily China.
A lot of Jews that migrated to China.
There are over in the Middle Ages.
Yes, there are a lot of later Jews. But what, as far as Cain's concerned, I mean, what do you think about the whole thing with like the name Khan?
Well, right, but Khan is not a
derivation of Cain.
That's not Chinese.
But you start getting into like the Mongol people and actually China was
Khan actually comes probably from Kohen, which is a Scythian Hebrew word for priest, right?
Yeah, but he was a Mongoloid.
Yeah, but a lot of Scythians were in Asia at a very early time, and they're probably the ancestors of the Mongols.
So they mixed with the Chinese.
There's all kinds of evidence that they mixed with the Chinese.
I've got a bunch of books that I'm assembling. I'm diddle-doddly getting it finished, where it shows that in like 8 or 9 different volumes, I combined this knowledge together because nobody knew everything, and it kind of proves by their conduct that the Aztecs were essentially the Canaanites of the Old Testament. They had come over here long before anybody knew that in
the
modern
Island
history. What's that?
Through the Aleutian Island chain.
Chinese are
snake worshippers too.
Well, I'm not talking Chinese. We're talking Aztecs from Mexico.
Yeah, but that's where they came from. They're Asiatics.
I'm telling you where they came from my view. And where they came from, according to what I've got here, they came from the Mediterranean. And they went over the Mediterranean, across the Atlantic Ocean, and landed on the eastern shore, not the western shore. And they established themselves there as a little tribe. And they were so vile and filthy and so violent in their human sacrifices and cannibalism that they were kicked out of all over central Mexico. And finally, they ended up in northern Mexico. A lot of the people up in like Tijuana area and that Air Frontera, they are apparently descendants of the Aztecs. And the Aztecs had every attribute that I've seen that matches up with the Canaanites of the Old Testament. So there may be Chinese coming over on the western side, but on the eastern side of the Yucatan and central Mexico, that was the Canaanites of like the Old Testament area that landed in there. And I'm still trying to finish this. I started in March, and I'm still piddling around with it, doing other things. But that's kind of what I've gathered, is that these guys, the Aztecs, were just like Jews. They conduct them just like Jews. They end up working out with a small group, dominated the entire central Mexico area there, where the Mayans used to be. And the Aztecs were so ashamed of their history, and they wanted to cover it up, that they destroyed all the other histories of all the other peoples in that area. And then they rewrote their histories as though they were these other people. And it was said that the Mayans were so much superior to the Aztecs that the Aztecs took on their culture of Maya, the language, the rituals, the religions, except they mutilated their religions, and they out-Maya'd the Mayans, as one of the books said. They were more perfect than the Mayans in what they were doing. So I got to finish that up. That's probably my third project. I got two big ones right now. But that's where a lot of the Aztecs came from, is they were the Canaanites. Now, if there were Canaanite or Cainite blood coming from China, it'd be a different group.
I have information that the Aztecs, along with the another Indian tribe, came to America about 1200 to get away from Genghis Khan. There's a place down in Georgia specializes in American history.
Cliff, you're cutting out a little.
Yeah. I think the Paiute Indian thing, I've got something here where Wickstrom suggested that the Paiutes were the Aztecs of and therefore the Canaanites. But I looked up the book that he quoted in his DVD that I bought from him, and it's exact opposite. You really got to dig when you get these guys telling you things, you know. I looked online, and I got a copy of that book and the PDF from Google Books. And in there, the Paiute Indians were mad at these other race of people who were cannibals, and they were murdering people of their own Paiute tribe. And so they cornered these what I would call the Canaanites, Aztec Canaanites, and they cornered them into a cave. And they said, oh, do you promise not to do this anymore? Well, lad, you're talking to a Jew, for crying out loud. What are they going to say? So they toughed it out in there, and they wouldn't come out, and they wouldn't agree not to practice their cannibalism and their murdering of people and human sacrifice. So the Paiute Indians just set a fire in front of the cave and just smoked them all to death, all of those that are in there, at least the ones that they had. Now, one thing that ties these people into the Canaanite idea is that in Aztec is because they kept finding some of their dead. The Paiutes found their dead with the sternum missing. Well, these Aztec Canaanites were taking the heart out and eating it and using it, the blood to drink and stuff like that. So that just kind of ties it in with the idea that the Paiutes are not the Aztecs, but rather they were the enemies of the Aztec Canaanites. But Wickstrom, somehow or another, he got that twisted around. So whenever you read anything like that, I got to dig it up and look for sure. And that's part of the reason why I got started on the Aztecs with the Canaanites. Who's next?
Is my microphone working better now?
No, it's worse than before.
No, it's working now.
Is it now? Well, it's working, but a lot of key words fell out. I only recognize the Paiute Indians because I happened to study it. If I hadn't studied it, I wouldn't have caught the idea of the Paiute Indians. So a lot of your words are falling out to where we can't hear.
Well, I wasn't speaking about any Paiute Indians. I was speaking about Aztecs.
Okay. Well, one of the words sounded like half finished and then cut out, so it sounded like Paiute. So that gave me a chance to raise up my head and speak.
They were
Thanks.
Supposed to have come across the Pacific Ocean by boat, come over to get away from Genghis Khan. They very well, there's very good possibility might have been. Are you able to hear me?
It's cutting in and out so much we can't quite grasp it.
Okay, I'll just be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Guatemalans and you go down through the like Peru and everything else, they're all the same. I mean, it's only when they got the mixed Spanish blood that came in that they changed. Now, there's also evidence that there were white European men there prior to the Asiatic Indians that came in. And what I was trying to say before was that the Chinese and all it's the same culture. They're all basically they're snake worshipping, you know, Canaanites. But that they didn't come across from the Mediterranean, but rather came across the Pacific.
The works that I have talk a lot about how they have the snake. Even today, the snake is part of the Mexican national emblem.
They got the feathered serpent.
Yeah, they have the serpent attacking the snake, and they have the cactus. And I've got it in this thing that I've written up here, I just don't remember. But there's a significance that the snake is on there.
Probably put my snake dream in here from the other night. Bill would appreciate that.
Push it into the microphone.
Robert, you're right. That page was coming up blank, and I can't. I see it in the editor, but I can't see it in.
Yeah, I can't pull it up, and I mean I've got Clifton's other two papers, Mexican Trace to Cain and Tiso and Ladino, but I can't pull that one up for some reason. Is there any way you can get right down post the PDF? Just post the PDF link. Goes directly to it.
All right, I resaved the document. Now it's fine.
Okay.
I don't know what was wrong with it. I brought it up in the editor and just saved it. And it's fine now. It's weird. But you know what's weirder is it won't come up on the mirror site either for some reason.
Well, I'm going
you know, I have a mirror site set up for Clifton at Christogenos.org, emmaheiser.christogenos.org. Good night, Galilei.
I just erased all that now. What was it? It was the
thanks for addressing that for me, Galilei.
It still won't come up for me. I can't bring the page up.
It just came up with no problem for me.
It doesn't work for me. I erased all my cache, and I clicked on the link again, and it does nothing. Hates me.
Well, now this is a big PDF, right?
No, I can't get to the PDF. I mean, it just won't. I can get to
you're about to get to the PDF if I hit the enter key.
Oh, I see. This is the PDF. Okay, there you go. Oh, now that's downloaded. I got that.
Well, the PDF is just a duplicate of the article. If you see the PDF, you've seen the article.
Yeah, it's an ugly PDF. Oh, Smithsonian.
Well, it's actually a PDF I had to make from a scan of the magazine, right?
Okay.
Clifton only had the hard copy of the article when I scanned it.
Yeah, it's still kind of working its way. This isn't as fast as my super speed on the East Coast.
Oh, that's fast as hell. I wish I had that internet connection.
That's readable. I just got it up. Took a while. Is it a one? Oh, it's 1.8 megabytes.
I think it's 13 megabytes.
Down here. So
yeah,
down
it's a pretty big
okay,
PDF. It's probably at least 13 megabytes.
There it is, yeah. Well, it's still readable.
Yeah, I just bought this now. Crashed. I have a solution.
It crashed.
Just what I need to have happen. I think I'll stop it. I ain't got time for this crashing stuff.
Did you just have a crash?
No, I want to avoid it because I'm in the middle of doing something important. That's why I'm not talking too much. I want to get that done.
I'm going to wait till it loads and I'll pull it out of the cache because it's not allowing me to view it for some reason. It's the paper from hell. That's why it's a Canaanite paper. It's the Mexican Canaanite snake.
I just brought another browser up, Firefox, and that loaded this page with no problem. I put the link in again. That loaded the page
you,
with
Bill.
I got it going in Firefox and in Opera. I mean, you're using Internet Exploder, probably.
Exploder?
You know, I had this thing. This is generally I can kill the process before it eats up my computer. But today I tried to send an email. It must have had something weird in the link, and I ended up with at least 100 Internet Explorer pages before I could even do anything.
That's what Internet Explorer does. It explodes the websites.
Yeah. How does it do that? It just kept on popping pages up after page.
Yeah, you know what? Firefox does that to me, but only when I try to launch TalkShoe Pro. It does that. That's a JavaScript error, a serious one.
I figured it was like those snakes that took over the sidewalk the other day.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's the miracles of compound interest, right?
Yeah.
That's why the Jews love it so much.
I just don't think you appreciate these weird dreams I have sometimes, Bill. That's not sitting in my temporary directory. Isn't that got to be somewhere?
Clifton, I think you just have to make your microphone a little more sensitive because your voice drops when you speak softly and those words are lost.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but you have to give a long sentence.
Well, how should I adjust it?
Well, that sounded fine. All of that sounded fine.
Maybe I just have to talk louder.
Yeah, you just have to speak up. That's all.
You got to yell at Bill anyhow, Clifton.
He's going to be yelling at me soon. I don't get to his proofreading soon.
I got the 8th paper on Wyatt now.
Great. I still haven't proofread number 4. Now I really feel like a bum.
I've got enough paper on Wyatt to take McClure up into next year.
Jeez. Is it worth it compared to what else you have to do?
Well,
yeah, it probably is worth it.
I gotta kill a lie.
But is
have you taken a look on my website there where I have those children that have those chromosome deletions?
Yeah, I did, and I sent you an email about this saying that it doesn't seem to support your idea of their misery. And how it connects to what you're trying to say.
Well, you just look at the deletions, because there's 4 or 5 other types of genetic problems. Well, you just look at the and see Ron Wyatt is saying that Christ had 22 male chromosome deletions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Christ had 22 chromosomes deletions, just take and wrap up all those things those children have, and Christ would have all of them.
I think it's rather blasphemous to suggest that Yahweh would have any chromosomes at all.
Right, it is blasphemy.
But is he
Christ had to have chromosomes.
Well, if he was a manifestation of God.
Yahweh does not break his own natural laws. Never.
Well, then, how did Yahweh take upon himself the seed of Abraham, as Paul states in Hebrews?
Because he's God.
In another place,
if he took upon himself the seed of Abraham, that means he had 46 chromosomes, just like Abraham. If he was the second Adam, he had 46 chromosomes, just like Adam. Otherwise, he wasn't an Adam.
And another place said he took on the seed of David. So David would have to have 22 chromosomes too, then. See, their argument is that Christ was of the seed of the woman, and the only chromosome they needed was the Y chromosome to make him a male, and otherwise he had only had the 23 chromosomes of Mary plus one male chromosome. Now that's the argument that the white crowd is putting out.
Well, you know, if he just wanted to come here and be, you know, the deity and, you know, be unique and different from us, he could have done that. He did not have to go through the process of being born and growing up and all of that.
He would just appear, huh?
Why not? He could appear anywhere, any way he wanted.
That's one of the perks of being God, huh?
Realize that in the Old Testament, Christ never, Yahweh never appeared. In the New Testament, it's about the invisible God. Well, when he came as flesh, he appeared as a man. So then he became the visible God.
Who were those three people that appeared to Abraham and then went on to Sodom? We got two angels and...
It was two angels, yes.
And a third person.
Yeah. Well, the angels, no doubt, Yahweh himself can take on the appearance of
That was really my point. You know, if he wanted simply to come here among us, you know, as the deity, he didn't have to go through coming through Mary's womb and growing up as a child and going through all of that.
That was the only way he could become our brother.
Right. So he had to be like us. So he'd have to have chromosomes, right?
Yes, he couldn't be our brother unless he had 46 chromosomes.
Now, this Wyatt argument of one chromosome, is this getting widespread knowledge, or is this just something that has been around for a couple of years or more?
Well, Eli James plastered it all over the Internet.
Well, I've spoken about Eli James.
Well, Eli James surely know how. I mean, I've sent Eli several emails on my position on it.
Well,
surely knows my position.
If he sent the same thing to Ron Wyatt while he was alive, do you think he'd get any further with him?
Well, I haven't so far.
No, but Ron Wyatt was a fraud.
Yeah. Some people pick up these ideas and they can't let them go, you know. And then they get it so much that they can't say you're wrong, which they should, because they'd be embarrassed.
Well, Ron Wyatt got a paper from supposed to had the chromosome. You know, he's supposed to found some blood on the mercy seat. Canaanite Jews over there and had a test, the DNA tested. How could you believe anything that they did have a...
Well, it never happened. That's how you could believe it. It never happened at all. It's only Wyatt's word against the world, right? Wyatt's his own witness, right? He's the only witness. He has no documentation, period.
The reason I believe that he got permission from the Jews to do some archaeology over there is because they were looking for the Ark of the Covenant. They tunneled clear in under that... Dome of the Rock over there, and the Arabs found out that what they were doing in it caused a riot, and I think they just told Wyatt to go ahead. You know, when they found out what he was wanting to dig for, they said, "Go ahead, maybe you can find it." I even saw that documentation on the Zola Levitt. I just happened to turn on the television one night, and it was on there. And I started watching it. Pretty showed where Ron White was digging there. So I think he was working right along with them over there.
Well, I can't buy in the Ark of the Covenant story. And I know the Dead Sea Crossing is a fraud. And that didn't happen. That didn't... Yeah, you know, Wyatt's account of it is wrong. The Dead Sea Crossing happened, but not where Wyatt says it did. That's just ridiculous. So Wyatt's work just falls apart on any serious introspection. But Eli stuck his neck out there, and he's going to continue to defend it.
Yeah, maybe he wants to keep it out there, knowing it's indefensible, just to keep the idea alive and stir things up. I know that there's an email every now and then comes around, and I keep telling this guy that sends it that it doesn't look right. There's supposedly pictures of the Red Sea crossing, and they got these underwater pictures, and they say, "Oh, look, here's a chariot wheel," you know. Well, if you look at it closely enough, it looks like the like a valve wheel from a ship, you know, with a square in the center, and you get this big wheel, you turn it for whatever valves you have, and it's just laying on the floor down there, and a few other things, and it's just obvious the way it looks that this is modern stuff. And if somebody keeps going around saying, "Oh, here's where there's proof that they got it," you know, they have nothing. It's all modern metal down there.
Giacano asks why we can't just agree to disagree on the Wyatt stuff and move on. And I think that the Wyatt stuff really makes us look like fools to anyone out there who has really examined these issues. Because once you examine the issues, you see that. It's evident to me that Wyatt's a fraud right off the bat. I mean, I'm a little more red than most people, but it's not hard for me to see it at all. And to anybody who is well-read, who understands archaeology, who understands the Bible and studies it, it's easy to see that Wyatt's a fraud, and we don't need it to make our case. So why should we promote it?
Well, I've been trying to... ever since I've been writing, you know, 1998, I've been trying to make this a respectable message.
Right, I'd like to stay with that also.
I'm sure as hell not going to bring a 24-chromosome story into it because that just ruins the whole story.
Right, it ruins our credibility.
Exactly.
But in the general Israelite study, or... people are following it, you know. Is this an important point?
Well, no. So why keep raising it? Well, why we have to knock it down? Why bring it into Christian identity? It's not an important point.
True, but...
We don't need any of it to make our point. I don't need any of this to prove that the white Europeans are the children of Israel, that Christ really existed, that the Bible's factual, and that the Jews are the children of Esau. I don't need any of this to prove that. I don't need any of the Wyatt stuff to prove that.
But if we continue to hammer on Wyatt, pretty soon he gains almost like a backhand respectability because we're bitching about him so much.
Well, Clifton's endeavor is to disprove Wyatt to show he's a fraud because we have to keep a scholarly, respectable message.
I think you have a problem overall, and Wyatt is just one of the symptoms. And that is, you have a lot of people who just love running around after lots of wild stories, whether it's Wyatt or it's 2012 or it is other big fantastical tales. And you're right, you end up looking like tabloid reading idiots.
Right. And I don't want to look like a tabloid reading idiot.
Okay. Well, I'm not familiar with all of the extent of Wyatt and how much it takes to prove him wrong. But do we need 8 of them? Could it be done a little bit less? And if the situation starts to boil, then you throw the rest of it out on top of it. Do you see my point here?
Well, Clifton's doing the work. I think all of his other stuff has been great. I especially like the booth papers.
Well, it seems like everybody out there is trying to run a pretzel factory. I never got into something where everybody's trying to get a spatial twist and they get on a bandbox and they got some kind of an odd twist to some passage and they want everybody to follow them. I don't give a damn if nobody follows me. I'm going to tell the truth.
Well, you give me some good reading material for tonight, Clifton.
Bob's going to read about Mexican Jews. Jukesicans. Jukes. Jexicans.
Well, that one thing Bill was bringing up there, he's having a hard time bringing up in your where the Mexicans have identical cancer what the Jews have. And they didn't discover it until some of the Mexicans that had this breast cancer sent a test into New York. And in New York, they discovered it was the same, and they couldn't figure out, well, why should the Jews have the same cancer the Mexicans have? Or why
right. The cancer is caused by a particular gene, and only Jews and Mexicans have the gene, right?
So
right.
What is it? Is this just ovarian cancer? But so that's
no,
it's a type of breast cancer. But it's a special, yeah, you know, it's breast cancer. There's different kinds of cancer, right? Breast cancer. It's caused by a particular gene that's only identified in Mexicans and Jews.
Is this most of, or with the women, in other words, or is it men too?
Yeah,
they said that even some of the men had.
Well, they're carriers of the gene, but they don't get the breast cancer.
I think in that article, they even said that some of the men had the same breast cancer.
Yeah.
Imagine a man having breast cancer.
I didn't see that. I mean, it might be in there, but I don't remember it. That's all right.
Yeah, but there's a huge increase in breast cancer just from the bovine growth hormone now. And also abortion. That's an enormous increase in breast cancer due to abortions. So as you're saying, it's a particular type.
Yes.
Yes, and only...
yeah, it's only people with that gene that get this particular type of cancer. That are susceptible.
It might show up in the Chinese where they mixed with the Chinese in time, but at the present time, the only people they know that has this particular breast cancer, Mexicans. Now, one thing has happened in Mexico now, all the Mexicans are starting to look up and trying to find their Israel identity. Some of the Mexicans are trying to claim that they're Israelites. So we got Mexican Israel identity now.
Well, at least that's a little bit better than the black.
Right, Viracato. I'm hearing that AIDS is hardly affecting whites, but I'm very skeptical of that. I don't know if that's propaganda to get more whites to not worry about AIDS and to have open sex.
Where I live here. Blacks in the whole state, the county, and the city, coincidentally, are about 3%, and yet statewide, blacks have 25% of the AIDS and HIV.
So that means whites have to have 75% white. But there is word, I've been hearing a lot of this, that whites don't get AIDS, whites don't get AIDS, and it's all over the internet, it really is. But
the
I think
are dropping
it might be
like
propaganda to coax whites into not worrying about AIDS.
Yeah, the
And Robert, I'm sorry, you were right. Colossians 1:20 does have a typo in my translation. It should be through and not though. It's missing an R.
Okay. And it's Timothy.
No, it's Colossians 1:20.
Is it?
Yes.
Maybe found another one.
So I was at 1 Timothy 4:5. You're saying it's Colossians.
Wow, you know something? How the hell does that happen? It's in 1 Timothy 4:5 too. That's two typos. That's just incredible.
Bill, I know how that happens because I make all kinds of typos.
Yeah, I know. Well, I make too many. I don't know how the hell. Yeah, you know how many times my Paul translation was proofread? You know how many times my Paul translation was proofread.
Yeah, the other thing you might want to mark on there too that I noticed, it's a very minor thing, is you're missing a return on page 248. Right next to blaspheme, it's in 1 Timothy also. Carriage return, read the whole line now.
Yeah, that happens once in a while. There's a few things I gotta fix.
You know what amazes me, Bill, is I've had my notes, you know, for years, and I still keep finding stuff. It drives me absolutely nuts. I don't know how you can teach a course and still miss this stuff. Even
well,
more,
well, these,
I,
These translations were read by a bunch of people before I finally put them on Lulu. Yeah, you know, and basically what I put on Lulu is the same thing that's on my site, right?
Yeah, but that's something you can fill in with your eye real easy. Missing.
I know, and that's what happens. You could read it 20 times and not see the missing letter.
Yeah.
Sometimes I find with mine is I have to physically print it out on paper and then put it over here on my little stand and read it on paper because that monitor, for some reason, hypnotizes and it just screws things up. You can look at a punctuation or misspelling unless it's got a red underline in it, and you just can't see it. But when you put it on print, for some reason, it jumps right out at you.
It didn't jump me today, I'll tell you that. I had a note, an error in my notes has probably been there for 2 years, and a student pointed it out today.
Well, I think I have 6 typos now. They're all minor, but it's 6 typos total.
Yeah, well, you're gonna find more.
I got three in front of me, and I got another list. There's 2 or 3.
Well,
on
as
the other
I
list.
Read through it, I'll keep pointing out if I see anything else.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it. I didn't hire any proofreaders. So it's a little over my head.
I have 12 proofreaders, including Bill, and I consider them all guardian angels.
There you go.
Robert, what's this missing return? I'm on page 248. I don't see it.
Well, it's in mine in Lulu. I don't know. It's 248 at the right before chapter 2. Right above that, the last word in the line is blaspheme.
Oh, okay. I'm in the different. I'm in the 8.5 by 11 copy of my
Oh, I have no idea on that one. I'm on. Yeah, I actually have your.
Yeah, right. I got to get the other PDF file, right?
Yeah.
You got the 6x9 book copy.
I got the book copy, and it does. It's missing a carriage return there, which spreads that whole line out.
Yeah, right. That's a total pain in the neck, too, when that happens. I hate that.
No, but I've been reading through this.
And I said I checked for all them, too. For real. I went through this PDF about 18 times.
Can't do it yourself. I'm telling you, you can't do it. I'll tell you what's even more frustrating is, you know, you can pretty much get anybody to read this, right? Try to proofread technical documents where people don't understand any of the lingo. That becomes impossible. Like, I had a couple college girls, you know, trying to look over the stuff between my notes and getting it into Word and the equation editor. And of course they sit there and copy my errors right into it. It's hilarious.
You know, I had some really nice women, two different women, both made separate offers to type my John and Matthew and Mark notes in to get, you know, to get me rolling on getting those books done. And you know, I know that there's no way anybody's going to type that but me. Yeah, you know, when I did Paul and Luke, somebody else typed it, but I wrote it all out longhand. And when I did my notes for Matthew and Mark, I was pretty sure I was going to type it myself. So between my own shorthand plus the Greek, nobody else is going to type that.
That's probably not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I was fortunate enough to, since mine's all mathematical symbols, I just have the MathType equation editor, and they were able to do it. You get a couple of college kids that have seen math, but the thing is they can't fix the mistakes because they don't know what the equations are doing.
Right.
How do you spell sine?
S-I-N-E.
Yeah, or S-I-G-N, depends on who you're talking to, huh?
Yeah, anyhow, it was a huge time saver for me because just getting the equations in is a nuisance. But I can't imagine if you have to do another language, you really need to have someone who knows Greek. Good luck. I got some Greek students here. Maybe you want to have them do it.
Yeah, but they're not going to get my shorthand at all my chicken scratch, you know?
Well, they're pretty smart. They're my smartest students right now. I got one guy that wants to do a...
Are they Greek students or are they students who are Greek?
Well, that's, I guess you could look at it both ways there. But it certainly is refreshing to see that the Greek military actually has Greeks in there, real ethnic Greek.
My brother was assigned to a frigate, that this is like 10 years ago, he was assigned to a frigate, I think it was the Fairfax County, And the ship was sold to the Greek Navy because it was being decommissioned. And he was in he was the chief in charge of the engine room at the time, and he was charged with teaching the Greeks how to operate the ship, and they got it over to the Med and sunk it. I swear, it was funny as hell. My brother was so upset the Greeks, they sunk his ship.
Well, they were telling me they have so many fights on deck by arguing with one another. When I was thinking about what you said with the Greeks about fighting one another all the time.
Yeah, right. That's what did in the glory of Greece. Man, that would have been some. If Greece could have lived in peace, that would have been some civilization. But it just wasn't meant to be because they were pagan apostates from God, from Yahweh.
Isn't that what happened here?
Well, with a good dose of Canaanite in with them.
I have to laugh about that sinking story. You know, a lot of time, almost every year I go with the crazy Germans on a sailing trip somewhere. And a few years back we were heading to the Canary Islands and we had this, I think it was a 53-footer brand spanking new boat we were going to rent. And we got there and we didn't get the boat we wanted and we're all disappointed about it. Got a little bit smaller boat and an older boat. And we're going, look, this is what we rented. We said, well, we're sorry, but it's at the bottom of the ocean. They had three old guys that rented it before us, and they lost control and ran it into a rock and sunk it. Brand spanking new boat, too.
Wow. You know, the Greeks were on their way to being a highly technical civilization.
I don't doubt it. I'm telling you, my Greek students are absolutely top-notch students.
If you ever read about Archimedes and some of his inventions, and Diodorus Siculus describes the use of lenses in almost like a configuration like a laser. That's the only way I could explain it in the 34th book of his Library of History. I think it's the 34th book anyway, but it is towards the end.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that they didn't do so well because it's kind of a mess over there now.
No, Viracato, there's no place whites have ever lived without the Jews sneaking in and corrupting the society. That's the enmity between the children of Adam and the children of the serpent that's gone on from the beginning.
Yeah, they've made a mess out here too, haven't they?
Yes, they have. But it's our fault. I mean, the mess is our fault because we keep letting them in. We keep getting deceived by the devil.
Yeah, but it seems designed that way, Bill. It almost seems like it's an unfair battle.
Well, the only thing that the only defense that we have against the serpent is our God.
And technically, between
and if we
God
live by
us,
His law, the serpent wouldn't be able to harass us.
And why do we not live by His law?
Usually, it's out of greed.
No, I think more it's because we haven't been told. Our priests, our church has not.
Well, right, but every one of us has an ancestor to do it one time or another, right?
Well, my great-grandfather may have been really good at hammering nails, but I can't do squat when coming hammering nails. So I can't blame him for not teaching me something because I never met him. See, it's our church today that should be teaching us who we are and what we are and why we are and what the law is and how we're supposed to obey it and what happens if we don't. But we don't have those people doing it, so we wander around not knowing who we are.
Well, right, but today we have an advantage that our great-grandfathers didn't have. We have easy access to the Bible. And
there's
books.
More Bibles published than any other book, and like one
and
guy
nobody,
says,
and nobody pays attention to it. Nobody follows it.
Well, but so what's the sense in having a lot of Bibles and churches? The more churches and Bibles,
it's
more
just
sin.
More proof of a testimony against us as a people.
It's hard to blame the ignorant who are truly ignorant for not knowing something. But once they get to know something, then you can start blaming the ignorant for not being smart. But we haven't been told. Sometimes we sit there talking on this talk show here, team speaking, we kind of think of, yeah, well, everybody else knows. Most of them don't know squat. The number of people who really understand the Israelite message is few and far between. I'd say there are more Jews than those of Judaism than there are white people that understand the Israelite message.
Well, yeah, there are.
You want to see something funny now? Go to Google and do a search with the word Jew in it. It'll give you a warning off to the right-hand side.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not kidding. Okay. Go pull up Google and put anything in it and then Jew. I don't know. Put Bob Jew.
Okay.
Just put that up there. And it'll give you a warning off to the right side about how you pulled up, you know, you're being warned that you've put Jew in there.
Offensive search results.
Yep.
We are disturbed about these results as well. Please read our note here.
Yeah, it says, if you recently used Google to search for the word Jew, you may have seen results that were very disturbing.
Yeah. Well, you know, the two Jews run Google. What are you
kidding? Yeah, they're telling on themselves.
But it's incredible that it's actually on that page now. I've never seen that before.
Ricardo, you're absolutely right, Ricardo.
It's smack dab right on the front. I'm thinking what they're doing is they're trying to play a bait now to get a law passed that you can't use Jew.
Okay, well, just call them Canaanites.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Or kikes. I did a search for kike, and it didn't give me the same result.
Well, kike all means circle. In the old days, when they come over here to Ellis Island, this is what I've been read in a couple of places, that the Jews would not put an X because the X represented the cross being carried by Christ. So they didn't want to use the X. So they put a circle. And in Yiddish, circle, is the word for circle is kikel. So this come for short, kikes.
Kikel sounds like a real perversion of the Greek word kuklos, which is circle.
It might be. And, yeah, Yiddish is a German.
And what cycle comes from?
Yiddish comes from the adulteration of German and some
And 15 other languages.
Yeah, yeah. German Jews.
You know, that's kind of interesting because I was wondering where the where kike came from. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but why circle?
Well, because they didn't want to put an X where they... See, they didn't understand English, and they had to sign their name, but a lot of them didn't know how to write, or they said they didn't know how to write. So the guys at Dallas
Island... I'll bet they knew how to make a ledger book. Two sets.
Yeah. Well, numbers and words are two different things. So they would say, well, sign here. Well, they didn't know how to sign, so they put an X, just like with the Negroes. They put an X, and then some white guy would sign the guy's name, and he said, I signed for this man. So they had to put their mark. You know, put your mark here, a little X. Well, no, but they had put a circle there. Jews didn't want to use an X because it was like Jesus Christ carrying the cross.
Well, you said I have a story for that one, though.
You have a story for that one?
Well, no, you're just giving it to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was always wondering why they were calling people schmucks, too, and then I realized when I went over to Germany that then...
It's a Yiddish word, yeah.
I watched Bill's upload of Olympia last weekend, and I got kind of worked up late and ended up watching it till 5 in the morning.
Sorry about that.
Well, I don't mind. It was really good. It was black and white, you know, and it's an old, and they had to work with the film that they had, you know, and it's probably a copy of a copy, but it still came out pretty good. And I watched the second part the next day on Sunday, later on Sunday, and that was the English language type. And it only was the Summer Olympics. It didn't have the Winter Olympics in there, unfortunately. It was just the Summer Olympics, 1936 in Berlin. And Hitler, he's in there. They got some pictures of Hitler and Goering with his fedora hat and Goebbels and a whole host of them are in there. You know, they're all there. You can look for them sometimes, but they're there. So I got inspired and went back over to the Bundesarchiv on the Internet, and I downloaded about 40 images of either Olympia or the Triumph of the Will. I got a couple extra of those, and I spent almost half the day today putting those up on the Mount website. I get this idea. I got to do it. You know, it's like a compulsion or something like that, and I just got to do it. And so I'll put the website, if I can get there, of the Berlin Olympia Festival of Beauty. 1936 Berlin Olympics. I'll put it on there for those that are interested in looking down. And you see some pictures that you will recognize in the movie, but also in these things they show some still shots. These are all still shots of images that are not in the film at all. A lot of background stuff. Olympic committee members. I must have spent about 20 minutes just gathering up stuff about this guy named Avery Brundage, who was the president of the International Olympics, and he turns out that guy was a Nazi sympathizer, and he didn't want to embarrass Hitler, so there were two Jews on the U.S. back team, so he used his influence to get them bumped off. And I think the one that replaced him was Jesse Owens, a Negro, and some other guy, you know. And he praised Nazis at the Madison Square Garden rally, but the America's First Committee expelled him because of his pro-German leanings. Aww. And yet, when the massacre in 1972 of the Israeli Jews, Brundage would not stop for a Memorial Day. He says, "Keep the calendar going," you know. And one reporter said to him, "Incredibly, they are going on with it. It's almost like having a dance at Dachau."
I'm looking at this supposedly German high jump competitor. This is one rough-looking character here.
Yeah, keep looking at it.
He's a strange one.
Click on that. You'll find a little bit of story there. One or the other. There's two of them, but one has a big story on it.
Yeah, I see that.
It's unfortunate, but the guy was, he was not a man, but he was not a woman. He was not a woman, but he couldn't be a man. So they let him go through.
at first, I thought it was a woman.
Yeah, yeah, with long hair. But you look at the two of them. The first one, a competitor, that's him or her, and the other one, the high jump, that's him or her jumping over the high jump bar. And he wouldn't take showers with the women. He registered
and couldn't
as a
even
woman.
Win.
I guess not. But he.
What do you mean a him or her?
Well, if you go to that site there where it says Olympia Festival of Beauty, you go on the second row down there, and you see where it says high jumper competitor. It's like kind of a guy with long hair.
Yeah, I see that.
That's guy. When he was born, he had deformed genitals, and the midwife nurse attending thought that it was more like a girl's vulva. Or vaginal thing, because he was distorted. It was, and so she wrote it up as a girl. They didn't take much time to look, you know, and he wrote it up as a girl, and he was really a guy, but it was completely non-functional sex organs. He couldn't do anything with it, according to what I my research. So they just kept them recorded as a girl. So when he went to he joined the Hitler Youth, and he says, "Hey, you be the girl over here," and he took the place of a Jew. There was I can't remember the name, but I didn't put it in there because it's not important. But he also, like Brundage, knock out that Jew and put Jesse Owen in there. I think it was that. He also, this guy, Ratchek, I think his name was. I'll click it here and get this up. Where's he here? Radjan. Herman Radjan. Or Dora. He went by the name of Dora. Dora. And he registered him as a woman. So that he could win this, at least partake in this high jump, but he was to take the place of a Jew, a Jewess.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah. Now, the first one we show him standing there gives a little bit of the description, but the other one next to it where it says high jump, I should really take that bigger text and put it over there where he's standing there, but it gives you more of a description of it.
How many birth defects were like that back then?
I don't know. Question.
I imagine with all the radioactive material being thrown around now and pesticides and everything, there's probably quite a few more birth defects.
Yeah, and just a junky food we're eating.
In fact, I think I see a whole bunch of them in Washington. You know, perhaps that's one of the, you know, Clifton was talking about this chromosome thing. Perhaps that's the problem with Washington, Bill. What do you think? They're missing a few chromosomes. It's a requirement
yeah, right.
to be a politician.
They just, most of them have the wrong chromosomes. That's the problem.
Too much.
What are you saying? They have that Canaanite chromosome in there?
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure most of them probably do. Kent, you want to say anything? Matt, Cheryl, MacDog, Papa Cat, come on. I mean, this is an open forum, right? I'm sure we've lost steam a long time ago.
Yeah, I think the most interesting part so far for me, I must have missed a lot of the beginning, is this Canaanite roots in Mexico. I'm almost anxious to get in that now.
Yeah, in the beginning, I defended my translation of Matthew 10 against some joker on Stormfront. So I gave like a 20-minute dissertation on that. It was kind of extemporaneous, so I hope I made sense.
Oh. That reminds me, the other, this rapture thing, in your, Where do they normally get that rapture? Somewhere in Thessalonians, right?
Yeah, the last chapter in 1 Thessalonians.
Okay, and your translation has that, is that completely, it's not in there at all, right? Because it doesn't really exist?
No, it is in there. It does exist, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Does?
Yeah, you're confusing it with something else.
Oh, am I?
I mean, it doesn't mean what they say it means, but it's in. It's definitely in there. You'd have to listen to the program Eli and I did on it. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah, I'll listen to it again. I've already listened to it once. It takes a little while for me to absorb stuff.
A lot of this is deep stuff. And if it's the first time I hear it, I got to kind of read it a couple of times. Yeah, because it's just...
My problem is just becoming unprogrammed. I listen to the other garbage for so many years that it's like ingrained in my head right now. So when I hear it from Bill or Clifton or someone else, it takes me a little while to get rid of the other stuff and get this new stuff in. I know the other stuff's wrong. It's just recapturing the right stuff.
Imagine those that hear it and know it's true, but they cannot admit it.
Well, that's pretty much everybody I talk to that's in church. I've almost come to the conclusion that if you're still in these synagogues of Satan, that you're unrecoverable until you get your butt out of those places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can see going back to churches just for the full purpose of causing a bunch of trouble.
You'll have to look around for a 2-volume set called Change Agents. I've got it somewhere in a different room. But it explains how agitators in detail can go into a church and start first figure out who's who and what's what, and then start rumors about this one and that one, and pretty soon you change, the people get all upset, and then you start attacking dogma and the rituals and stuff like that, and pretty soon they start changing it, the rules, and they'll be able to be more liberal or this or that, you know, more tolerant, and next thing you know, they've changed the church from its origins, and a lot of the people that are diehards, they will quit the church rather than go along with a church that is going to be the opposite or different from what it should be, and then they just take over the church. It's called The Change Agents. It's 2 volumes. I got 2 of them in paperback.
I might have seen that book before a long time ago.
Yeah, it's what I have is 2 volumes, but they may be combined into 1, for all I know.
My experience with the churches has been pretty similar for most of the ones that I've gone to, is that you can much do anything in there. As long as the minister is the instigator of doing the moral activity, that the parishioners will follow no matter what. It's kind of like they follow the Jew. The Jew can do no wrong, the minister can.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice any different patterns between that and society.
Hello, Matt or Cheryl, or Matt and Cheryl.
Yeah, it's me, Matt, Bill.
How you doing,
I just
Matt?
I got in from work. I'm doing pretty good. Feeling
great.
Better. Actually did some singing tonight. Not
good.
Too bad. Not too bad, but it's definitely isn't quite all there yet. But glad to see everybody here tonight. I'm glad things are still, you guys are still talking.
Yeah, for a little longer. I mean, I was about to cut it off, but I'll keep us going for at least a little bit longer.
Yeah, I had, I myself had a good discussion this weekend with a friend of mine. Actually, it's the husband of my wife's best friend, and he's your quintessential Judeo-Christian, just from the standpoint of he's basically a churchgoer, and I found out for sure this weekend that he firmly believes that Jesus was a Jew, and that we need to support Israel wholeheartedly. Now, this man, actually, both of them, him and his wife, are actually very nice people. And they most certainly act and behave the way a good Christian should.
Well, most Judeo-Christians do, Matt.
Yeah, I guess, but a lot of them I've come across, are so hypocritical. I mean, these people are probably about the least hypocritical Judeo-Christians I'd ever come across.
Well, coax them in here. Coax them in here. I'll talk to them. I'll walk them through exactly why we shouldn't, why we can't support Israel.
Oh, absolutely. And see, the thing is, you know, I was in their house under their hospitality, and it took everything that I could to actually avoid the Jew argument. We had a pretty long discussion, and he, you know, he's actually very interested in the genealogy aspect, but he's just not putting two and two together. And every time I would come up with something to refute his universalistic views, he either really wouldn't have anything to say and would change the subject, or would refer to, you know, a quote from his American Standard version that, you know, basically supports universalism. It was definitely getting frustrating, but, you know, it just seems to me that, I finally come across somebody who it seems like it's worth taking more than just a little bit of time to try and get them to see the truth.
Yeah, well, it's a noble endeavor, and even though they probably won't, you still got to try, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Bill.
If you have no expectation, you'll have no disappointment. and that's something I learned a long time ago. You'll never be disappointed if you don't expect anything. Lay it out there, and if they accept it, they get it, they get it. If they don't, walk away happy.
Right, sure. I think the key to me is going to be convincing him about, you know, the specificity of translational errors, because his famous argument with me so far is, you know, he calls it splitting hairs. Even made mention, you know, because I'm of course dip into the whole historical context and say, you know, you have to do more than just read the Bible. You need to read other pieces of information, historical documents, books, and whatnot, to actually get a truer understanding of that point in history. I said, you know, the phrase "lost in translation" is a well-used phrase for a reason. And his comment to me was, well, you don't want to get mired in historical facts. I mean, that's almost open quote, close quote right there. And
yeah, we don't want to get mired down with facts. I mean, that right. Just clouds the issue.
Exactly. Yeah,
you know, splitting hairs, maybe one or two mistranslations, and you got one or two split hairs. And that may, you might be able to get by with that. But when you have 500 blatant mistranslations, what are the kids going to call you? Frizzy. Frizzy. The King James has some serious problems.
Yeah.
I've been planning a paper on that for a while, and I should get to it, right? Maybe a program.
Don't forget Clifton's papers you got to do first.
There's so much.
Well, they're just proofreads. It takes me a lot longer to write a paper than it does to proofread one.
Well, I was going over, he seems to be not trying to find the right word for this. He really feels, you know, the as he calls it, the love of Jesus and all that good stuff. But I asked him, I'm like, you know, because his answer is always, well, you know, Jesus died for us, for our salvation, and, you know, he loved us so much, you know, and just kind of a little bit over the top on the lovey-dovey kind of issue. And I'm like, do you understand why? Do you really know why he did that? Why did he have to suffer and die? And he couldn't answer me. So I started to get into the divorce discourse with him. And he wasn't agreeing with me on what the law is concerning divorce. And that's when I realized he really didn't have much of a background on the Old Testament.
Well, why cloud your beliefs of the Old Testament? Making a pun on what you had said earlier about historical facts, right? Why confuse the issue with the Old Testament?
Yeah, I told him, and he did agree with me. I said, you know, you really can't how can you understand the New Testament if you don't read the Old Testament? And he would agree with me that the Old Testament is about the Israelites, and yes, that they're, you know, they were a chosen people, but man, he just slams into that Jew wall where he swears up and down Jesus was a Jew and, you know, the Jews are the chosen people and we're supposed to support them. I'm like, where can you show me in the Bible that any one of these people of the direct lineage of Jesus was called a Jew in the Bible? He's like, oh, don't split hairs with me on that.
Well, you know, when you're splitting hairs, I learned this a while ago, when you're splitting hairs, the only question remaining is, which side of the blade are you on?
Exactly.
Well, you know, John 19:26, Christ says, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. If he tells them they're not his sheep, ask them who they are if they're not a sheep. Because I know the Catholics teach that they're not a sheep because they didn't believe him. But that's not what Christ is saying. That's actually the exact opposite of what Christ is saying. He's saying, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep.
Right. Well, he doesn't seem to believe that that there are any pure races left. He is under the
impression. Well, that's the total Jew brainwashing. I mean, that's the Jew-educated brainwashing. The Jews teach people that in school. The Celts and the Vikings, they both had a different mitochondrial DNA, or this gene is different, or that gene is different. So they're two different races. So there are no more pure races, because every European is at least part Celt and part Saxon, right? I mean, that's how they lead people to believe that.
Right. Well, he also, you know, he said, well, you know, there was race mixing discussed in the Old Testament, and there was admitted race mixing. I'm like, well, yeah, but the Israelites were immediately and directly punished for such.
Yep.
And were constantly punished for those exact acts. And I didn't have enough time to start delving into the Old Testament then to start pulling out the, you know, like even specifically the, Yahweh made the covenant with Phinehas. That would have been a good prime example of it.
Yeah, right. It has to be one pure family, has an everlasting priesthood.
But I think that the biggest hurdle, I would really love to think that, you know, he and his wife could wake up to the truth. But he has done missionary work to Peru that he is so proud of.
Well,
and
of course.
He looked at me square in the face, and he, you know, he did the whole Jesus love thing. And he's like, you know, Matt, if you could have been there, I can't even describe, you know, God was there, and, you know, the love and these people just took to Jesus, and you know, you would have to be there. And I said, Howard, no. I said, I can get the same thing from people, but I don't have to go to Peru.
Did he do some missionary work in Peru, apparently?
I'm sorry, Munich, I didn't hear you.
Did this preacher man do some missionary work in Peru or some foreign place where he kind of drew upon this?
Oh, yeah. He, through his church, I guess he's gone down to Peru two different times in the last couple years to do some missionary work. And he's very proud of it.
And have you sprang it on him that we need more of preaching up here than we do down there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And his response, of course, was...
Right. His response pretty much was, well, you know, that just can't be, you know, it can't be right. You're telling me that these people are going to be damned to hell, and, you know, and they took to Jesus, and, you know, you just don't know what, you know...
Get away from me, I never knew you. Amos 3:2.
Yeah, I even showed him the passage in the New Testament where, you know, how Yahshua reacted to the Canaanite woman, and how the apostles reacted to the Canaanite woman. I'm like, Howard, how do you explain the fact that he's ignoring her and then calling her a dog? I said, and then, you know, he did her a favor, but it's not like he told her, don't go, you know, go, sin no more, repent. He didn't tell her any of that stuff. But the only thing that he was able to key on to have an argument was one word, and that was, well, it said she believed, didn't she? See, that means that if anybody believes, that they'll get the blessings of Yahweh.
No, he used Yahweh, or did he use God?
Oh, no, he used God. He's a Jesus and God person.
Yeah.
But I use the sacred names when I talk to him about it. I always use the sacred names.
And every time you do, he'll translate that as Jewish. Jewish God. Yahweh's Jewish God.
Actually, no, that's not part of the... On some of my earlier discussions with them was basically, a lot of it was based around historical context of the sacred names and the importance of using the names. And, you know, it was the whole Jewish part of it was actually never part of the discussion, and he never acknowledged it as such. But his claim is, oh, well, he's got a bunch of names, it doesn't matter anyway. Yeah, as a matter of fact, his wife, my wife's best friend, I remember one of our last discussions, she was getting pissed at me.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
What it comes down to is people, most of these Christians, and it sounds like you're going through the same thing I've gone through with a lot of the people that I run into, family and business partners and stuff, is that they're quote nice quote Christian people, but they don't want to face the reality of the fact that there is a group of people who are going to be saved, and there's a whole large group of people that have no chance of being saved. They're corrupted from birth, and they just simply don't want to face the reality that that's the way the world is. It just seems too harsh for them.
Well, he tries to, you know, when I bring to the fore about, you know, there's only two, you know, there's only two types of people. You know, you've got wheat, you've got tares, you got sheep, you have goats and all that. And he translates that into, well, yeah, that means believers and unbelievers.
Well, that's not true, because Matthew 25 says that the goats and the sheep are nations.
Right. Well, in trying to get him to understand, even because he holds to that damn word Gentile too, you know, as being everyone else. When I tried to explain to him, I'm like, well, for one, go back to what the real definition of Gentile is, and it has to do with your relations, with your kin. It's not a general term. And,
well, right, but he's missing the whole, you know, without the New Testament, you don't understand the promises to Abraham, which are explained in Romans chapter 4. But he'll never get, you know, you have to understand that those nations are the nations that came from Abraham's seed. That's who the gospel is for. That's what Paul explained in Genesis, in Romans 4.
The difficulty talking to Christian.
Without that Old Testament foundation, he's never going to understand the New Testament, because he has no idea the context of the promises.
I would ask him, I'd say, well, you know, all the letters and the epistles written in the New Testament, why are none of them addressed to the Chinese or the Arabs or the Nubians, you know, or whatever. Like, you know, it's addressed to the Romans, which I'm sure you cannot, you know, deny was a white civilization, the Hebrews, you know, then you need to look up Thessalonica and Corinth, and, you know, you'll be able to find out for yourself that during that time period that was part of the white civilization.
When the preachers I've met, by the time they're preachers, they think they know it all.
Well, see, that's just it. He's not a preacher. He's just very involved with the church. I think he developed his closeness to Jesus through AA.
Oh, that explains it. You get these AA people, some of them are so destitute that they just latch on to anything just to hold on to it because they've lost so much.
Right. Well, and see, the thing is that he has been blessed since he quit drinking, went to AA, and became religious. He has a very successful business now. I mean, when he went through all that, he basically had nothing. He was down and out. And, you know, he's come a long way in the last 10 years. And, I mean, his business is, he employs, you know, over, I think, at least a dozen people. And he's very generous because he truly believes that he was blessed by Jesus, by God, you know, and he's enjoying the life he's enjoying now, and he does everything that he can to give back. And, you know, I applaud him wholeheartedly for that. You know, at least he recognizes that what he, you know, views as blessings and his happiness and his family's happiness comes from God.
Is he like most of the Judeo-Christians when you mention this to him, that you won't believe the way they believe, so next thing you know they get kind of hostile and they kind of forget they're Christians?
Actually, no. No, as a matter of fact, no. And we can argue and disagree, but it doesn't get heated. And no, he's not. He doesn't get belligerent.
Well, that's a switch, because usually when I'm talking with Christians, particularly the Bible thumping Jesus freaks, they just get hostile, or they start throwing questions. Well, do you believe the Bible is a perfect word of God? And I'll say, well, yeah, do you believe this? Yeah, well, yeah, do you believe that? And bam, 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 all these very simplistic questions, you know. And finally I say, look, you know, I'm going to talk to you. I don't want to sit there and be interrogated. And they get hostile if I don't just absolutely accept what they believe.
Right. Like my brother. Well, and, you know, when we're having our discussions, you know, I'll flat out, both of us will, you know, if we're discussing a specific topic, you know, we'll cut each other off and say, well, I absolutely don't agree with that, and here's why. You know, he's a very patient man. We're both very patient people. And, you know, it just, to, even though I, you know, you keep running into that Jew wall that he keeps throwing up there, it's the fact that he's still willing to discuss it. You know, he doesn't get belligerent. And it always ends up as a good conversation one way or another, even if I feel like I haven't quote unquote won the battle. But, you know, the war is still raging, and there's plenty of time to resume a new battle.
Well, Ezekiel chapter 35, and show them how the Edomites took over those two countries, and then how the sheep were all wandered away in Ezekiel 34, and explain the deportations real quick, and then go right to Romans 9 and show how Paul judged between Jacob and Esau, and quoted Malachi 1, that Yahweh hated Esau, and that they are the people who took over those two countries in Ezekiel 35, who converted to Judaism, and tell them that history is well known, and show them Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 from there. If you don't get it, that those people are Edomites and God hates them, well then he ain't ever going to get it.
Right. Well, like I said, you know, it took everything that I had to actually avoid the actual Jew topic. When he was swearing up and down that Jesus was a Jew and the Jews are the chosen people, I just had to look at him and say, I absolutely disagree, and then made the comment of, you know, you show me where any of his descendants are called Jews, and then just kind of left it at that, because throughout the conversation, it was absolutely apparent he had no idea who Edomites were. He has no idea as to who the Israelites are, even though I did, you know, toward the end of the conversation, let the cat out of the bag that, you know, look, it's, you know, the Israelites are the white race. That's what the word Adam means. And at least that was not foreign to him. He said somebody had addressed that with him before, but apparently that just went in one ear and out the other. And, you know, and then when I came to the realization that, you know, he absolutely does not have any concept of any seed line doctrine at all. You know, this is going to be a long road to haul, basically, but he just seems like the type of guy with the patience and you know, possible understanding that would be worthwhile to put that time into.
Well, the key is history, and the key is explaining why the genealogies are important. You know, show them the 12 tribes in the New Testament.
Well, I'm extremely encouraged, Bill, by the fact that he claims to be interested in the genealogy. He's told me he was... I didn't get too in-depth with what he was calling his study of the genealogy, but I just left it at that...
Well, you're always welcome to invite him here, and I could give him a quick rundown of history in 20 minutes, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's going to be one of my next steps, because he's really wants me to come over to his house every Wednesday night. He has Bible study at his house, and he says it's multi-denominational, and just the fact that, you know, he's willing to bring me in on this, knowing that, you know, I'm very vocal about this stuff. You know, who's to say how it will end up? You know, maybe I'll only be there one Wednesday and never to be invited back again. But you know what? If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But, you know, if I'm going to oblige him and you know, come to his house for his Bible study, then I would most certainly hope, not expect, I would hope, and I believe if I know his character correctly, he would actually oblige me and, you know, sit in on one of these shows or something. But, you know, that just remains to be seen.
If he's in a constant state of denial, there's no sense in talking. I had a preacher friend of mine who did that, and he just wouldn't listen.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I had a preacher friend, he's dyed in the wool, Jesus is God, and you got to worship Jesus, and he was just a Judeo-Jesus freak. And no matter what I said to him, you could just see him just sitting there just rigid as anything. He just wasn't going to accept it, no matter what.
Right. Well, you know, I'm most certainly going to, it's not going to take too long to figure out where we're going to be sitting with each other. But it looks to me that, you know, this guy is on a perpetual journey, and that he does try to study the Bible, but he's obviously doing it under study, Judeo-Christian study groups. I did go to one of his study groups once, and it was headed by the pastor of some Baptist church or something. It wasn't even the church that he went to. You know, so all his ideas and how he's being directed in his studies are being done, obviously, from the Judeo perspective. But the fact that, you know, he's still willing to study, still willing to read and to learn, you know, the way I look at it is, if I can present him with enough facts that he cannot refute, you know, he could be a prime candidate, but, you know, who's to say if I don't try?
Well, you gotta try. Just don't have any expectations.
Yeah, it's very true, Bill. Very true. But it looks like I'm gonna be signing off here. The wifey wants to go to sleep. So.
Well, thanks, Matt, and God bless, and I'll see you tomorrow, Crystal Ale Stream.
Yep, absolutely. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night. See you.
With that, I guess I'll end recording. And okay. Thanks, everybody, and praise Yahweh.
Okay. See you later. Bye. Over.